The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress here at Gillette Stadium. Another huge annual win for the football team this weekend. Of course, I'm talking about Everett with their – no.
You're right.
Big win by Everett. But also the Patriots, their 10th AFC East Championship under Tom Brady. He now has the record passing Joe Montana for the most divisional titles by a quarterback. Unbelievable.
With one team, right?
I'm not sure if it is by one team.
I think it said that.
Oh.
Because I don't know if Montana won it in KC.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's just an amazing thing. 10 out of the last 12 years, wrapping it up the first weekend in December. Good stuff. Now the real test against probably the team that is the biggest obstacle, I would say, to them getting the AFC Championship. The Texans coming Monday night. But first, we'll talk about this game. What we can take away from this Miami win, a tough divisional game to be expected. I mean, you know, the Patriots have a tough time in Miami, particularly in December. And once again, that was proven out. I'm not surprised it was so tough. A lot of people are. But I'm not surprised it was a tough game.
I was
game.
Surprised it was as low scoring as it was.
Yeah.
But you're right. I didn't think this would be one of those, 49-19 blowouts that we've been seeing the last 2 weeks. But I thought it would be a little bit more. I thought the Patriots would cover the 7.5, and they didn't. And I also thought the points would be higher. I thought it would be if Miami was going to stay competitive, I would have thought they would have needed to be around 25 or so and didn't get close to that. So hats off, Freddie, to the Patriots defense this
week.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They played well.
Defense, they didn't make Ryan Tannehill look any better than he is, which I think is progress.
It is.
And Miami certainly had multiple chances to score points with good field position, but I think Vince Wilfork had a hell of a game up the middle. They were banged up. No Chandler Jones, no Jermaine Cunningham. Say what you will about him, but he's become a big part of that defense. And they were both out. Guys had to step up. Trevor Scott from his safety position came and played defensive end and had two sacks for himself. And I was a little bit upset with Vince Wilfork. Because on the fumble, he ended up recovering it and gave it to Bianca. I think he should have given that to Trevor Scott. I mean, that was Trevor's play. Should have been his ball, you know?
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
I guess so.
Maybe Vince has been listening to the broadcast and he thinks he made the play.
I also think when you're Vince Wilfork, and he's 9/10 of the law.
I was going to say, right. So is being 375. It's my ball.
Right.
How does Bianca get the front row seats every
place? I was thinking the exact same.
Because team tickets aren't good.
Right.
Like, generally, the part that's saved for teams is higher up, worse tickets. And she's always in the front row.
He must make a call personally to the other team and say, can I get my wife in the first row?
But I mean, I guess with
there's
money,
always a lot of them. Yeah, there's always a lot of them around because a lot of the other wives are with Bianca.
Yeah, they buy like
but
a row
Andy's
usually.
Right. I used to, I mean, I don't know if they do it different now. This was like 20 years ago. But when I went, a few times I actually sat in visiting games with Patriots family.
Oh, yeah.
They're terrible seats.
As it should be.
Do you remember Scooter Magruder, Freddie?
Sure.
I sat with his wife one day we were way up in the Meadowlands. The third deck in on a corner.
And that's how
one of the end zones.
You think business-wise, I mean, your most valuable seats you're not going to give away to the other team, especially like, you know, the Jaguars come here, they end up with front row seats that are worth, you know, $500, and Patriots players go there and they get a $20 front
row
seat.
Do you remember the game that they fell behind in the Meadowlands, like 21-0, they came back and won? It was like
David Meggett.
Yeah, well, that was the Giants game, but same thing.
Yeah.
I think Chris Slade's brother.
Just say yeah.
Chris Slade's brother was with us that game. We had all the Patriots family, and we were as high as you could be in the Meadowlands. Not high. Want to get high?
I think just high in terms of altitude.
I
agree. You should do that with the opposing team tickets. But I think teams also have a few VIPs because you want if your VIPs were going to another, you'd want them treated right. And I think there's always
good tickets available. Yeah. But there's also always the chance she just goes on StubHub and spends $1,000 on a ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's the case because they seem to be a somewhat stingy couple.
How does she get that front row behind the Patriots bench every time?
And especially now, I mean, if you had those tickets somewhere else, you'd make her pay for them, like, really mark it up. You know she's looking.
Sure.
Although in Buffalo, she was kind of on a corner, wasn't she?
No. She was right behind. Maybe two or three rows up, but she was right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I find it funny.
Yeah.
I also found his statement, like, I make plays for her, she gets all whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost my balls or her balls. Footballs, I mean.
Right. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. So the AFC East belongs to the New England Patriots in a big loss by the Baltimore Ravens to the Pittsburgh Steelers. For the moment, the Patriots actually have the number two seed because they throw out the head-to-head when there's a three-way tie.
Right.
So the Patriots have the common opponent advantage. That will change, though, because all it takes is that Bronco Ravens game to change that. If the Ravens beat the Broncos, then I think they, even if the Patriots keep on winning, they would take number
There's
two
a lot
away.
That could change.
Right. If the Ravens were to win the game, if the Broncos were to win the game, then the head-to-head would go to the Patriots over Denver. If the Patriots were to lose and then conference record comes in, I think conference record might be something, but this is why you don't do tiebreakers in December.
Right.
Early December. You have to wait till.
But you never know
so many games
with that Mayan
happen.
Calendar. If things end,
it could end,
and they still have football, which you know nothing stands in the way of playing the football on Sunday.
So if the world ends,
right, there would still be the NFL, and the Patriots would have the number two seed. So you know, good stuff.
When is that? That's coming up.
I think
12th,
it's December 21st.
I thought it was the 12th.
21st. Inca or Maya calendar?
Don't ask me.
The Mayan, I think, is the December 21st.
The 21st, okay.
Do I need to know this?
I don't know.
Got to buy some beans and stuff.
No, please not beans.
That's true. If I'm in a shelter with my family.
Although you could probably operate your generator.
That's true.
You're going to get the hard meats.
Turn myself into a fuel source.
You got to be like Tony Madge. You got to get the hard meats.
Yes, the salamis. Good hot salami.
All right, so what did you guys take? What are your thoughts coming out of this game? I mean, we talked about the defense. It was nice to see, albeit against the Miami offense, them step up and do what they had to do.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on that feeling. On some level, Trevor Scott, I thought they stepped up. You know, I thought that was a major concern when you're two of your top defensive ends are out. How are you going to play? Are you know, can not just the pass rush, can you set the edge? Can you stop Reggie Bush? I thought that was good. I thought Kyle Arrington played really well in the slot. Maybe that's his new role. He's settling into where he should be. But that said, I also thought that Tannehill missed the plays that were there for him to make. Couple to heart line.
A better quarterback would have had him.
Well, not even a bet. I mean, Russell Wilson, a guy who maybe just has a knack for making the play that is available. So, I'm, you know, Aqib Talib still seems to be an issue both in terms of coverage and communication. He still seems to, you know, that look of turn around, like, where's the safety I thought I had there? And so I think there's some concern there, not just on the deep one, but even the potential touchdown out the back of the end zone where they caught it, but they were out of the back of the end zone.
Right.
I mean, there were still plays there to be had, and in a game, like Paul said, that was lower scoring than he expected, one of those changes the game.
Yeah, and those misfires. But, I do agree with Andy. I don't ignore the problems that they had, and I thought in particular, I thought Brian Hartline was open all day, and that was concerning. But I also look at some of the spots that the defense got put into, and this was a rare game. It was a real role reversal game where the offense put the defense in several bad spots, and the defense came out of it okay. I thought in that third quarter, I thought was the key to the game. When, the Dolphins have a 4th-and-1 from the Patriots 49, they choose to punt, and they down it at the 3-yard line, and they get the stop and force the punt, and they end up taking over 1st-and-10 at the Patriots 49-yard line, exactly where they would have had it had they gone for it on 4th down. And the Patriots stepped up and forced a 3-and-out right there. I think that was a big spot in the game. I think it was a 7-point game at the time, 17-10. And, they forced, Reggie Bush, I thought, ran really well in the first quarter, in the second quarter, and in the fourth quarter. He didn't do anything in the third quarter, and I think that's when the game kind of changed. They had 5 runs, Miami did, in the third quarter, and they resulted in a loss of 4 yards. 5 rushes for -4 yards. That put Tannehill in long yarded situations. That's not what they want to be. Like Andy said, he had some opportunities to make some plays, but that's not where he's going to make a lot of his plays. You know, he can use his athleticism to get out of the pocket and run a little bit. He did some of that, but on 3rd and 12, he's not going to be able to do that as often. And I thought the Patriots' defense forced him into bad spots, and they came
Kendrick,
through.
Add him to that mix.
He had a very good game. He had a terrific
game. In the backfield and plays like that. He was he was a penetrating force.
He had at least he was responsible for at least a couple of those runs. If he didn't
very
make the tackle, he was knocking guys back and getting it.
Yeah, they had
getting
some
to,
good penetration.
I think Reggie Bush had 4 carries for 0 yards, and Daniel Thomas had 1 for -4 in the third quarter. And I know that I'm just making a big deal out of these 5 runs, but they ran the ball really well.
Yeah.
Other than that, and this is when they had an opportunity to tie the game on the Patriots' side of the field, I thought the Patriots' defense stepped up.
Why do you think the Miami Dolphins were able to generate so much pressure on Brady? Was it simply a matchup thing?
Well, I don't think Vollmer was healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to think, with how well he's played all year, he looked really bad. I mean, from the very first snap, and Wake was beating him with speed. He was beating him with power. He had him on roller skates at times.
Is Wake always play on that side?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I actually had thought, we had discussed this pregame, but I thought they had moved him to the other side this year. But, yeah, he's always been a left defensive end. He gets the matchup with those right tackles. But when Vollmer's at his best, he doesn't play that poorly against Cameron Wake. That's more of a battle, and I thought it was a one-sided battle.
From the first play of the game, he knocked Vollmer backward. That's what I was a little surprised with. I kind of always looked at Wake as one of those speed, edge guys, little undersized. I thought physically he pushed Vollmer around a little bit. That's why.
But that makes sense. I mean,
that's why
you had all these reports that
he
blocked Jake Beckett pregame and then grabbed his back, and people were thinking he wasn't even going to play, and then he plays.
Yeah.
So
that's why I agree with Andy.
Anyone who's ever had back issues, I mean, it can hurt to just reach for your phone or something. And if he's dealing with something, it makes sense why he would struggle.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why they felt the need that he had to play.
But was it just Wake?
I thought they had edge pressure, and I thought they had a couple of occasions where the pocket collapsed. Not a lot. I thought the guys inside held up reasonably well, but they also, to their own doing, though, they really didn't run the ball.
Yeah.
And I thought that allowed Miami to get comfortable in a pass rush. And
well, I wrote, I mean, I know Miami had a pretty good pass defense, a rush defense going in, but I questioned on the blog, are the Patriots paying too much respect to that run defense early on? I thought, obviously the game plan was to throw the ball.
Oh, yeah, it was dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot that percentage I had in the paper. It was like 80% runs in the I mean,
what
passes
do we have, 26
in the first
to 6
half.
At some at one point?
Something like
early
that.
In the game, yeah. 26 to 4.
Now, you could also say the few times they ran it, they were unsuccessful. So it almost even more so tells you, okay, we got to stick with what we thought. Yeah. We need to, as Bill said, we wanted to spread them out and attack the edges early and then balance it out late. And it kind of worked out, but just didn't look all that good at times and wasn't all that productive at
now,
times.
Now, that last drive was amazing.
Tremendous.
That's exactly what we're looking for. Over 7 minutes with 8 minutes left in the game.
Some runs coming in chunks.
Ridley had 46 yards just on that drive alone. That's what we're looking for.
No question. You didn't even get to third down, really. You know, it was first down, second down. You just kind of kept bouncing back and forth, moving down the field. And give credit to the guys in the middle, too. You know, again, you're still without your top offensive line, and I'll even Solder. Vollmer, if he's battling something, you know, it certainly they got the job done on that drive and sort of closed the door. It wasn't quite a definitive closing of the door, and part of that we can talk about, you know, setting up for the field goal and Brady just falling down and you know, would that have looked a little different had because you go back, you know, the Dolphins get the ball back and what is it like 28 yards, 26 yards or something like that,
228 yard pass
right down the field. And now if you don't recover that onside kick and Miami's now playing for the win, do you look differently at that decision and how they ended that drive?
Yeah.
I don't, personally. I don't. And we talked about it a little bit off the air. Andy brought it up. And I don't. I think that was the right play to do. Listen, I wouldn't have had a problem had they run the ball one more time, you know, normally to try to get in the end zone. But I think a field goal did every bit as much to end the game as a touchdown did. And
but it doesn't.
You don't.
Really.
You don't run.
You know,
the
if
risk
you're going to take
fumble.
Bill at his word and let you know the old fourth and two.
I tried to end the game.
I made a decision to win the football game.
But
if you're making a decision to win the football game, the decision to win the football game is score a touchdown there.
But you know why? It's still a 2-score game. What's the difference?
But two scores, especially a field goal in there, is different.
Right,
you know,
they would have used up all their time trying to get a touchdown. I know what you're saying, but I think that Bill
I think if
right
you're literally,
no,
I think if your theory
with less
is
than a
to
minute
lose,
left, the 2-score game is game over.
Yeah,
and I have no problem.
Unless
with
it wasn't when they go right down the field. I mean, same as fourth and two. You still have a crap bum defense, and you still have concerns about them just marching down the field like they did. You know, any defense that's going to give up 55 yards in two plays. You need as many points as you can't count on. Well, yeah, it's a 2-score game. But, I mean, were they really?
No, what I'm saying.
Well, you're going a quarter of the field per play. It's not really a 2-score game
that's
over.
What I'm saying to you, it's a 2-score game either way. If that crap bum defense does what you said it did, I'm still in. It's the same situation. I'm still in a 2-score game, and I still have to recover an onside kick.
Yeah, I don't consider a field goal and a touchdown the same at the end of a game. I think it's easier to get a field goal, to get a game-tying
of course it is.
Field goal.
It's easier, even but though it's a 2-score game. You didn't
I know. You can say 2-score game as many times as you want, but I don't consider 14 and 10 the same.
Well,
I consider it harder
at that time
to
of the
get
game,
a touchdown.
I do.
Well, I don't.
I mean, with 30 seconds left, 10 points really should be enough to win the game.
Really should be,
but yeah,
I don't think it was. I disagree with you.
Is 14 doesn't close it any more to me than 10.
Well,
now, if it was a difference, if they had a 10-point lead, and they chose to do what you said, do what they did, and play for the field goal, now it's 13. I'm 100% on board with you. You had a chance to make it 17, and now it's all. I mean, it's completely over. You can't get 3 scores in 30 seconds.
Yeah, with
you
this defense,
get two.
I just don't look as 10 as 14 is the same when you can get 28 yards on any given play. I mean, literally, it takes them like one play to get in field goal range from anywhere on the field.
Here's where I'll play a little on your side. I'll go devil's advocate to my own argument because I like to argue so much. You know, 3 weeks ago, we were told the easiest way to lose a game was to have a kick blocked. And we decided the best way to win this one was to line up to have a kick with a 7-point lead. So one of those things is inconsistent. So when you want to say if we want to take Bill at his word, I don't, and I rarely do.
Yeah, I don't. I'm trying to take him at his. It seems like it's always put the foot on the throat. You know, keep the starters in. Don't take chances. Don't do, you know, fourth and two.
Right.
I can't give Manning the ball. I got to put my foot on the throat and win the game right there. To me, you win that game right there with a touchdown.
Yeah. See, now
leave a door ajar
now
I'm with a field
goal.
I'm
fully on board with Andy saying now because it's easy to be Mr. Big Balls when you're up by 35 and you're keeping
he's
the foot on the
worked
throat.
Up over
no,
there.
Because I think
now
it's
he's
so,
throwing, like, balls
it's,
around.
It's so ridiculous that we fall for these lines. Like, he says these things, and Glenn Ordway and Michael Holly get all excited about it. Like, see? You see? That's what you do. And to back up Andy's point here, if you truly wanted to step on the throat, Well, it's harder to get 14 than 10.
Right.
I can't argue with that. It's harder to get 14. I have no problem with what Bill did.
Yeah, I think
I have no problem with what Bill did, but
he did the right thing.
Because in the middle of that, you threw something out there that really kind of got me. You know, if you take Bill at his word. No, and I really haven't since 2001, to be honest with you.
Where is this snowball going to stop?
because he lies to benefit his side of whatever the situation happens to be at that time. When they're up 38, it's easy to say, we got to play till the end. But all of a sudden, when there was a chance that a blocked field goal could lose the game for you legitimately.
It's really fun sitting in this seat watching somebody rant. Talk fast.
Yeah.
Wes Welker, once again, over 1,000 yards.
Yes.
I mean, he was the player of the game, on offense, no doubt. Hernandez looked good. But beyond that,
when it
came to throwing the ball, you got to be a little concerned.
31 of 40 attempts was those two? Or is it 30 of 40? Whatever it was,
I think
it
was 31.
Yeah.
I'll look at
half
right
his
now.
Completions, those two players. Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, 31 out of 40.
Brandon Lloyd had a catch.
Some people didn't even think he was out of bounds.
Late in the game.
Yeah, Paul wanted to challenge it to take away his only catch.
Me and Andy really wanted him to get blamed.
Edelman once again hurt.
Seen
on crutches with a foot injury.
Which is huge. The crutches is a huge aspect of that. The walking boot is standard operating procedure. Any lower foot,
right,
ankle,
immobilize it.
But when you add the crutches, to me, that's a next step of there's an issue there. And when they signed Dante Stallworth is the next step that there's an issue.
So I was just going to say the Patriots have signed Dante Stallworth after working him out last week. They knew his status, and thankfully he was available, and they need him, I guess.
Certainly.
Yeah, Gronkowski, we don't think will be back for the next few games still.
Tom Curran said you won't see him till 2013. He means the calendar year, not the season.
My guess is he's going to be back for the last game as a tune-up.
Now, is that 2013?
No.
And I think that would be insane.
December 30.
He's like 1,000% healthy. I don't see any reason. I don't see anything you get out of that.
Well, I'm assuming he'll be healthy. But if he's not, I wouldn't do it.
Well,
no.
Protect your PATs.
Yeah. So
easiest way to lose a game, get an extra point blocked. I remember a lot of games being lost over the years on blocked extra points.
But I'm not on board. I'm not buying into the whole thing. Well, you know, how could they play so close to the Dolphins? I'm not surprised at that one bit.
No, that's one
now,
of the things.
Now, if they do that
to
the Jaguars,
a little surprised by it because you didn't pick it.
Right.
Well, you got to be a little surprised by it.
As much as we mock Bill when he comes out and says, you know, pretty much what we expect in the AFC East, another dogfight, teams know each other, they slugged it, you know. We do see it often enough. Even
now,
you know,
this year,
Bills, you know, they've dominated the Bills over the years, except when they were dominating, they were like having to get onside kicks to win the game.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots blew out the Dolphins either. I'm not saying that, but these things happen, especially within the division. They happen all the time. They happen this weekend. Once again, San Francisco, you know, had a hard time with St. Louis, and this time they lost.
Really hard time.
Yeah. I mean,
no matter what happens, Fred won't be surprised, though.
It happens all the time. So, you know, the good thing is good teams manage to win these games.
And two teams this week coming up on Monday Night Football kind of are examples of that. Houston's had their struggles against Jacksonville and Detroit.
Yeah.
So good teams do it.
And, you know, as I got to hand it, this is another game, I got to hand it to the Steelers. I mean, I didn't think that they would be in the race this year. And they've overcome all kinds of injuries, and now the latest to Roethlisberger with Charlie Batch, and they still beat one of the best teams in the AFC.
Do you hand it to the Steelers, or do you look down upon the Ravens?
I do. I look down upon the Ravens.
You know, game is two teams, and you can look at it two perspectives. Are you disappointed?
Well, especially
after Paul says, you know, remember the whole rant he had about 8 million yards and 8 million first downs?
They can't score, and I was going to say the same
thing. You don't take care of business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just can't score, and to me, I know Pittsburgh is good. I'm not like these other guys that thought Pittsburgh. I mean, Fred was, you know, not alone.
Now I see people saying they have the best defense in football.
Absolutely, and all, these are the same people that told me how old they were all year. I don't know.
You just said that Baltimore can't score.
They can't score in
San Diego. So, you know, do you take anything from Pittsburgh?
I mean, this is going on for like a month and a half now with Baltimore. They got off to a pretty good start offensively, and they're still like they generally efficiently throw the ball. This week they didn't. Pittsburgh. Shut
them
down.
We gave teams the blueprint, even though we didn't execute.
Especially the way the games.
We should have read it, but
especially the way that game unfolded. You know, the Ravens were a 13-3 lead late in the first half. Then they come out and they get a 20-13 lead in the fourth quarter. They have the ball twice in the fourth quarter, up 7. That's game over. That's got to be game over. And you let the backup quarterback, who a week earlier couldn't complete a pass, you know, really rip you. I mean, they were lucky to be in the game. I mean, if he doesn't overthrow. You talk about missed opportunities for Tannehill. The Steelers had a number. He had one, Fred, that you probably didn't see because you were traveling. Was so bad, I called Andy into the office just so he could see how open Mike Wallace was in the end zone and how far over his head.
He broke a parabolic.
Charlie Batch threw the ball.
He never. Wallace gave him the moss, never even put his hand up because it was so bad.
Was
and
so
then he
hot,
broke a
yeah.
parabolic outside the back of the end zone.
And then there was another play. Emmanuel Sanders catches a crossing route and is running up the field by himself.
I just
dropped it.
I actually thought of you driving home. For some reason, we had two broadcasts of the.
Yeah, they were both on.
And I listened to the Cowboys one and Danny White. It goes, now I broke down all of Romo's interceptions. He's got 15, but really only five of them are his fault. And he broke them up. All I could think of was you.
Good for him. All right, so we got all that on the table. Maybe later we'll talk about RG3 and Andrew Luck. Paul and I like Andrew Luck better long term. Andy likes RG3. So
where did this come from?
So maybe we'll talk about that. You're not an RG3 guy?
No, I like him. I'm always down on the athletic guy because I think sooner or later he takes a lot of big hits. It's going to cost him games. It's going to cost the team consistency and continuity. I mean, Luck is the long-term answer because he's good. I mean, he has to get better.
Right.
I still say he's a little bit more myth than substance right now in terms of how good he is, but the long-term answer is him. I mean, Robert Mathis, his own teammate, did you see that tweet he sent out about it's amazing one city can have this fortune twice in a row, legend of Luck building or something about, you know, franchise QB to franchise QB.
Oh, good for them. I mean, it's good for Indy because I think they did Luck into Luck.
But no, I think they worked into Luck.
Well, you can't plan an injury to Peyton Manning like that, you know?
Oh, well.
There was a lot of luck involved.
Yeah.
But I think once they had the opportunity, they tried to nail it down.
Yeah, but to have that year where Luck is available, you know, a lot of things had to fall in place to
Robert
get
Robert Irsay, right. Executive of the Year. John.
All right, 508.
James.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the phones. They're stacking
Tiger.
Up. We'll lead off with Jeff in Vegas.
Hold on,
Jeff.
One second.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, 1 second.
He's on the other line with his bookie.
I'm here, guys. I'm here.
Yeah, okay. So are we. Talk.
Right on. Well, first of all, Paul Perillo, I hate how he preemptively sort of cut me off because I was about to lay into him when Andy convinced him pre-Miami game to say there was absolutely no chance that it could be a low-scoring game and have Miami have the opportunity to cover, even though it was the backest of backdoor covers by the Dolphins, speaking of Eric Scalvino.
No one said anything about Eric.
No.
Well, it's called a backdoor cover. When a team like
I know what a backdoor cover is.
So, and Pac-Man said the over was a no-brainer. So at least Jeff in Vegas does go against the flow at times. And, I don't know, be proven correct once in a while.
So all right, swimming?
We'll book you for Thursday then.
And Andy, did you catch, if there wasn't that half a point Miami backdoor cover against, speaking of Eric, you would lock it in. But I'm due to buy lunch. Let's work on next week after we defeat the Texans.
Talk to Kev.
Next topic.
Next
you guys
topic.
Happen to see Andrew Luck's miraculous comeback.
Yes.
So not too shabby by that guy.
No, he's a pretty good young player. I just, you know, having seen every throw this season, I'm sure you've also seen some of the warts in his game.
Well, I saw that was a miraculous comeback, and he had no business. If he avoided a sack, you know, at the beginning of that last drive, if he had been brought down, the game's over right there. Just bounced off like two guys coming after
the
him.
Most underrated aspect of his game is his athleticism.
If I was a little kid, I'd probably be a Colts fan right now.
Of course you would. Of course you freaking would.
Right. That's the part of his game that, to me, is most amazing, is that he is – I've seen so many highlights this year, and admittedly, we don't get to see every game. But there's been so many passes that he's completed with guys hanging on him. And he still gets the ball, not just like little flip passes. I'm talking about getting the ball 20 yards downfield. He did it against the Patriots on a play. I think Ninkovich had him. He was dragging him down. He just rifled one on a line to Reggie Wayne for about 20 yards.
Size, athleticism, head, everything.
And power. Just
everything.
He is very good.
He's the real deal. He needs to put it together. I'm still saying he's not as good as they say he is right now.
They need to get some pieces around
But
him.
You'd be saying the same thing after Peyton Manning's first year. I mean.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so.
When he threw 28 interceptions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but you remember that his first rookie year, he played the Bill Parcells Patriots, and I think he was picked like three times. Like, Parcells really made him look like a rookie, Belichick
just
did to Luck 2 weeks ago.
And Luck has looked like that a lot this year, but he still finds ways to make enough plays.
Correct.
I think the Peyton Manning comparison is very appropriate. Luck's
first
numbers
year?
Are better than
Come
Peyton
on, Manning,
Manning's,
Manning,
but Manning, you could tell immediately.
Year.
The day,
right.
I want to say it was a September
rookie
night game
year?
Here, you could tell immediately how good he was going
right.
to be. He was throwing no touchdowns, three picks, and you looked at it and said, he's going to be good.
Right.
You can see it.
When you have that
type
of ability, talent-wise, you know, physical, and the head to go with it. It's just a matter of time before you see things, and now you start to recognize
it. I also think he has
the... What the hell is going on there?
So hang up on him. You can hang up on him.
My God, it's like... there's like construction going on behind him. I don't know.
I also think Luck has the attitude, because some people have all of it, and then they're not going to go the extra mile and finish the drive. I mean, there's nothing not to like about him. Every time I see him mic'd up, I told Paul there was one thing where...
I would get rid of the neck beard, but that's...
But even that, I mean, it's kind of like...
He's just so goofy.
Right, man. He's goofy, and, you know, maybe the linemen like that. You never even know. He's got all that stuff, and, you know, he said to Arian, said, well, what do you want to do here? And he goes, I don't know, that's why they pay you the big bucks to make these decisions. Like, there's nothing not to like about what he brings to the table.
Very smart. Let's go to Nick in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
So you guys need to keep up those arguments early. I love it. Keep it going. We're getting in for a great show today, you guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was an argument as much as it was Paul just releasing. No, he had to release on a few things.
No, Nick is right. I disagreed with you. You thought the touchdown was substantially worth more than
then
the field
all of a
goal
sudden,
there, and I didn't.
And he's been doing this in 2000.
I think it was just that part in the middle that I branched off when you said, wait, if we take Bill at his word, why would anybody do that?
Either way, keep up the yelling and the show will be fine, you guys.
Okay. Well, Fred's here today. He'll be back down tomorrow. No Fred tomorrow.
Whoa. No Fred tomorrow? What?
I have an off-site meeting.
Fred won't be on campus tomorrow.
Jesus.
All right, so getting back to the review of the game, you know, I actually probably reviewed this game a little bit differently than other people. I saw two really big positives that I haven't seen all season. One, that would be the turnover margin was equal, zero. And we're still able to come out with a victory. And the second thing is that wonderful drive that we had that was at the end of the game. What was it, 7 minutes?
Yep, 7:18.
Yeah. So do you guys see that as big a positive as I do, or am I just blowing this out of proportion?
I don't take the turnover thing anywhere near as big a positive as you do, because I actually think they were plus two in turnovers. They had a fumbled snap on a punt and a roughing the punter penalty that gave them a drive. I think those are as good as two. They don't show up as turnovers, but those are as good as two turnovers. That's the other team didn't get a chance to get the ball after they stopped you twice.
Right, of course. No.
It's not negative. I think it's a positive. You're continuing to take the ball away.
Well,
and put your offense in good spots.
You didn't take the ball away from the punter.
No, I'm just saying it's...
The punter took the ball away from himself twice.
However you look at offensive chances, I look at them as positives.
They've had plenty of takeaways this year. That was a punter pooping himself.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now.
And, oh, the wet ball. Well, I don't care if the ball was wet.
But, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say I'm really excited because they turned it over once and Miami turned it over once and we still won. No, well, yet that's ignoring the other things that happened.
I like it. And then the first time he bent over to pick it, he didn't bend over far enough.
Right. He didn't practice the baseball bobble drill.
It was unbelievably bad play.
But they always do that. All those punters.
He still had plenty of time to punt the ball.
I don't care how much they practice. If they're taken out of rhythm, they poop themselves. Like, oh, my God, what's going on? Like, they can't look and assess, oh, I actually still have time to get this off. And they lose their heads.
All right, Nick.
Okay, so you don't give me the turnover thing. Well, what about that drive at the end of the
great
game?
Great drive.
Tremendous.
Fred already needed to be alone a little bit when talking about that drive.
That is the kind of drive
I had a Ridley in my
that can
pants.
Win you Super Bowls, win you titles. That's what I've talked about all year. Money in the bank. It's not always looked pretty, and people have said, oh, you're back to throw, why are we running so much, and all this crap. That's the kind of money in the bank that you can lean on at a key time sometime, and you could win.
And it's funny, on the blog, while that drive was going on, I had a couple posts. Oh, I hope he doesn't fumble it. And I refused to post those because I didn't want to jinx it.
And, I mean, he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
short little span there where he had the two fumbles, other than that, he's carried whatever it is now, 225 or 30 times.
Yeah, I saw something in a paper today, I don't remember which one, but said that Doug Martin is the only back in the league who has more carries and fewer fumbles. Than Ridley.
So
good. There you go. Thanks for the question.
Okay, Nick.
See you, Nick.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Hold on 1 second. I got a package I got to sign for. 1 second. Hold on. oh, no. Fragile. Oh, this must be from Edelman.
A lot of work, but you got there.
Fragile.
I knew it was going somewhere with
it. It must be Italian.
Let me tell you something. They want this kid to replace Walker. What are they out of their mind?
Yeah, that's
he
true.
He can't make it for a whole season. Give me a break.
That's basically what Scott Zolak and Christian Fourier said post-game, although Fourier took it the next step and said he's heard that they're re-signing Welker. It's a done deal. I think he might have gone a little too far.
Despite the fact that Welker's going to be another year older, I think the price has just gone even further.
I mean, look at it. You had two receivers, and one of them was Welker and getting 18 targets. If you don't have those 18 targets, where are they going? Matthew Slater, Brandon Lloyd?
I know.
I don't know.
and that was, like you said, about the ball distribution. I'm really concerned about the whole this whole what's up with Lloyd? Like, what's going on there?
What? He's a 50 catch receiver. What do you want?
Yeah, it's not like he's dropping him or not getting open. They're not even targeting him.
Yeah, I would argue that his 50 catches this year are far less impressive than Deion's 50 last year. I thought Deion made plays last year. Disappeared in games, but then he'd have a big game with a couple big plays. Brandon Lloyd has been irrelevant with 50 catches.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just a Brady not trusting him thing still, or you know.
Curran continues to beat the he's afraid. He hates contact, shies away from contact, and that's taken him out of everything they want to do or whatever offensively.
Did you anybody hear Brady yesterday on Dennis Gallagher?
I did not.
And when they asked him, about the whole Lloyd thing, and about his lack of production, he said that I have to look his way more when we roll the tape. He's usually open on plays, and I have to start looking his way more. I take that as translation. I don't trust the bleeping guy.
The question is, why aren't you looking his way?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They didn't follow up with that. But
especially on a day when you only have two guys really being productive.
Right.
Yeah. So. All right, negative stuff aside, I didn't think that they could win a game like that. I didn't think that they could win a close game while not – with the offense being otherworldly, and then get the ball and just run it down their throats. I didn't think they could do that. And that, to me, it was a championship drive. It was so impressive. And there were a couple of runs where Ridley almost even broke it
yeah.
more
yep.
in that drive. And so to me, that's huge, because weather's going to get worse, teams are going to get better, and I think you're going to be in more of these types of games. And when you're not producing with the pass, you do with the rush. That, to me, that's huge. And I feel great about it. I really do.
And to have the confidence to flick it in a game, you know,
right.
where we talked about, we're going all pass and
let's
then
do it.
Till we have to turn it over to the run. To me, that, you know, that's something. That's something you believe in. Okay, we can do it now. It's not just, you know, pretending that we can run. We're going to turn it over here and finish this game.
Yeah, I don't know about that weather getting bad, though. It's like 60 degrees the other day with moths all over the place.
Moths. I had moths last night.
Last night
the window candles, all outside the windows at the window candles are moths.
Yeah, I was on the grill last night. That's how warm it was. And there was a ton of moths out there.
All right, Christian.
All right.
Thanks for the call. The
fragile.
The calls are still coming in. Michelle is calling from Sweden. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Wow, you're calling from the furthest in your phone. It sounds the best. I don't know how that works, but, you know.
I don't know. Good luck, maybe. Good luck. I don't know. I have a question, though. I am so confused. I was looking at the when we played the Jets, the first drive where Brady had an intentional grounding, and that was the first and 10, right? And then the ref goes, loss of down, 10-yard penalty. But then the second and 20. So I don't get, where did the loss of down go? I don't get that.
Well, if it's first and 10, usually if it's a penalty that you take, you play the down over and you get penalized the yards. But in an intentional grounding, you also lose the down. So instead of first and 20, it was second and 20.
Well, I mean, I just don't get the verbiage then. Because to me, if it wouldn't have been an intentional grounding, it would have been an incomplete pass, and it would have been second and 10 instead of second and 20. So I don't understand where the loss of down went.
But they also penalize you the yards. Like, think of a holding call.
That I get.
If you get called for holding,
that part I get.
It's first and 20. You know, you get the penalty, and then you...
Holding is 10 yards, so it would be a replay first down, first and 20. Intentional grounding is 10 yards and a loss of down, so it's second and 20 if it happens on
first down. It's a double penalty.
I just have a problem with the verbiage, I guess.
Okay.
I guess. Yep. Anyway, I thought the defense played really well up front, and I think that's masking some of the secondary, because that looks really suspect. Like Tlaib, I don't know where he is. I thought he got beat a couple of times in the secondary.
He did. He's been beaten every game he's been here.
Yeah, both in coverage and zone. I thought he was more of a coverage guy than zone, which makes sense. I mean, if you come into a new team, it's hard. I mean, harder to play zone, I guess. But I thought we played really well up front, at least, and that was encouraging.
And surprising, in my opinion, with the injuries. You know, Love even is clearly dealing with something, so he was limited, didn't start.
Yeah.
So I thought the way guys stepped up, Dedrick, Scott, and those guys filling in, I thought that was a nice.
Spikes had a couple nice plays. Mayo, obviously.
Mayo was huge.
Hightower had a play, right? But
I don't remember.
For the most part,
I don't remember hearing
his
name.
He's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, he has been quiet.
Yeah, I didn't remember his name being called all day.
I've been a little disappointed in him. Now, I don't know. He may still be limited by the hamstring.
Yeah.
He may not be at full speed. And we've seen with, like, Mayo, you know, when he's missed time, even when he comes back, he's not the same guy that he is right now, when I would argue he's having his best season on the team, and he's, I'm assuming, pretty healthy. And that's probably, you know, A equals B.
Yeah. And also, but the offensive line looked really suspect, too. If that's the way they're going to play against the Texans, somebody's going to get killed.
Yeah, that may be true, but
somebody's going to get killed.
But let's not overreact. For, you know, they've had 11 good weeks, and they had one week that admittedly was a bad week against a front that has some athleticism, you know, has some talent with Wake and Starks and the guys that they roll out there. So, you know, let's take it for what it is. It was one bad game. Let's see if but you're right. If it continues, they're in trouble this weekend.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking J.J. Watt. Like, I mean, Wake ain't no J.J. Watt. You know
what I
mean? I'm like, that's scary. And those slant, like those over-the-middle passes to Welker, I cannot believe that that little guy is still standing up. I can't believe that. That's ridiculous. Like, those little dump-off passes that Brady gives him.
It's part of his greatness.
It's unbelievable. Yep. Like, people are talking about, like, swapping Amendola for him. Please, give me a break.
Talking about fragile.
Amendola might be less durable than Edelman. Yeah. I almost called him Endelman.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, it's always nice talking to you.
Okay, Michelle.
I'll keep listening to you.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michelle.
Michelle from Sweden calling in. Let's go to Neil in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I guess a couple of your callers have already made mention. I guess that's the downfall of being fourth in line on the waiting list.
You gotta come faster.
Yeah, well, hey, what can I tell you? I wanted to talk about Welker, basically. Given that Lloyd is now basically impersonating Chad Ochocinco in that we're now congratulating him on making flawless catches on the onside kick.
Hey.
Like, good boy, you know. Obviously, he doesn't figure into their plans a whole lot as his use is decreasing. Edelman has proven consistently that he's a really good player when he plays. He may be the most dynamic runner on the team in terms of evading tackles, but he gets injured far too much. There's no way they can't sign Welker. There's just no way, because the only alternative would be if they're saying, well, we can let him go and we're going to get someone in the draft. And that scares me even more because we know, of course, how well they've done drafting receivers in the draft.
But here's the thing about Welker, about re-signing Welker. There is a way they cannot re-sign him. One is Welker is just asking for too much money, and they decide not to do it. That doesn't mean if you don't re-sign him that you have to replace him with another Wes Welker or a guy that does exactly what Wes Welker does. You don't have to. You can get other offensive players that are different than Wes Welker, but you can still produce offensively.
The trouble is the guy who's in that line, Aaron Hernandez, hasn't been able to stay healthy either.
Okay.
I think people are taking a lot of this health and rightfully so, marveling at Wes Welker's ability to catch 100 balls every year, lead the NFL in receptions at 180 pounds, and still be on the field each and every freaking snap. I mean, we joked about it. It was in London, right? He took the big shot. He went out for, like, two plays.
Right.
Got a first down, went out for two plays, and, oh, we need a third down. You're fine. Get back in here. Here's the catch, another first down. He's remarkable. And if you've reached that point that he's that remarkable and if the team feels that way, then I don't understand why you couldn't franchise him again. Everybody said, yeah, they can't pay $11 million.
Right.
Well, if you don't want to commit long-term,
right,
but you think he's indispensable, then yes, you're willing to pay 11.
Sure.
You're
it's
willing
only like
to go
another
up.
$3 million.
It's
in
not
addition
even
to what you're
it's
paying.
It's not
this
even.
Year.
It's like
right.
$2 million.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you're in a bind because of his age, then I think you have an out with the franchise tag.
Right.
And I agree with that. I also agree we wouldn't have to have the same type of receiver. It could be the receiver that we haven't had in years, which of course is the deep threat. But I just say if we don't have him, there is no one else on the team who plays wide receiver that we can depend on in any way, shape, or form.
Right now, you're correct. You're correct.
I'd argue there's about three people on the team that play any position at all that you can count on the way you can count on Wes Welker to do his job. I mean, Will Fork is always healthy and always out there. Brady is always healthy and always out there. there's not too many other guys that are always healthy, always out there and perform at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I would put, you know, the broken arm notwithstanding, I would put Gronkowski.
Sure.
3 years, he's broken an arm. You know, I mean, he's generally, I think you can rely on him to be out there. Certainly you can rely
Mayo's
on him.
Mayo's had the knee. But
Mayo's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah. He's had a lot of injuries, and I don't think he's performed at Welker's level.
Yeah.
This year he has, because he's healthy. Now, that's the other thing. Don't tell me Welker's not hurt. Don't tell me he's not battling that ankle injury and probably 16 other things. So he doesn't even have to be healthy. For all we know, if he was ever healthy, he would average 15 yards a catch and have 150 catches.
But you're making a good point too, Fred, you and Neil, talking about, you know, it doesn't necessarily, I think everybody looks at it, well, you let him go and have Edelman in there. Or you let him go and you sign Amendola. You don't have to have a 5 foot nothing slot receiver to have this offense work. I think it works very well right now with that guy in place, and I think Welker is amazing at it. But there's nothing in the rules that says that Bill Belichick, of all people, who is constantly evolving and changing what he wants to do, decides, you know what, I'm going to do it in a little bit of a different way. And maybe Neil's suggestion of getting a young, outside-the-numbers deep threat to go with Lloyd, and then maybe more accentuating your two tight ends inside and filling in with a guy like Edelman, not relying on him to be the focal point of your offense the way Welker is.
Or not even Edelman, Shane Vereen.
Whoever.
Right. I mean, all of a sudden, Shane Vereen comes this guy on third down that you go, he just always is there for that 8-yard catch.
Sure.
There's a lot of different ways to
move the
football.
The one problem with that whole theory is getting the outside receiver. They haven't done a good job of doing that
in
the draft, free agency, trade, whatever. You know, aside from Randy Moss, they haven't hit on that. So it's hard to say. That bird that's in the hand is worth about 20 in the bush when you're talking about outside receivers.
Yeah, it's a great point about Vereen too. There's a
Thanks,
lot of
Paul.
No, there's a lot of different ways you can
Jeff
move
Demps?
The ball.
Yeah,
I think there's a better than average chance that Jeff Demps isn't on the team next
year.
No. I didn't say I don't think so. I just think that there's a chance.
Yeah.
That you know we spent a lot of time more time talking about Jeff Demps than we ever will when he's on the field.
Right. He's the green on the other side of the fence.
And
what? The grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Well, I still have my concerns about him. In the limited time we saw him, he looked more impactful as a running back than as a returner. And I know he had very limited chances. I don't even know. I mean, it's probably single four. But Paul makes fun of my thing. I think Edelman has shown us pretty quickly over the years he was a returner. After the ball stopped bouncing off his face in the first day, he got better quickly and was special. I didn't see that from Demps.
Never.
So,
well, yeah, it's a very, very
I know. I'm admitting that I'm basing
but
this on almost
nothing.
But we
saw this in the same sample with Edelman. This is what we're talking about. And I don't think Edelman's a great player by any stretch.
Now, the problem is you could lose Edelman in free agency, and then Demps might become your return guy.
Sure.
Unless we're going to make Welker continue to do that, too.
All right, thanks, Neil, for the call. One more call, then we'll take a break. Chester's in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, Fred, I'm glad you still got a job after Thursday's show. You know, I'm guessing that your offsite meeting probably involves some time sucking on the seat of the HR department to make this whole thing right after. Just saying.
Oh, do you think that was a little over the line there?
I don't. You know what's how bad this show is? I don't even remember. What did we do?
I loved it.
What did Fred do? Yeah, refresh us.
What did Fred do, Chester?
It was the whole pregnant take.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
he insisted that pregnant people should not be allowed to leave the house.
Oh, my goodness. So funny. But, guys, great to win to clinch the division. Feeling so good about it. And, you know, again, loving that last drive. We all needed to see that. Hopefully it wasn't a fluke, but just great to close out that game in style. I got to say, you know, hats off to Miami. They seem like a really well-coached team. And, you know, I'm going to be looking at them down the road, you know, as they progress as a team. But, you know, I had a feeling that pass rush was going to be an issue. And sure enough, it presented itself pretty good. You know, the reality here is, you know, Brady's a different guy when he's hearing footsteps. You know, I'm hoping our line gets healthy because I, too, share some concerns in that area. I think even more so, I'm really worried about our kicking game. And, you know, everybody's saying this is maybe just a fluke again, and, you know, he's going to straighten this out. But, you know, as the weather gets colder and as these opponents get tougher, you know, we're going to need this kicking game to be clutch. And you know, again, seeing those kicks going wide, it's got me concerned quite a bit. People, you know, need to pump their brakes on this whole Tom Brady not producing numbers. You know, when seeing the Facebook page on the PFW Facebook page and the Ask PFW column today, you know, it just seems like everybody's looking for Brady to produce these astronomical numbers weekly. And, you know, I think our offense is such more of a balanced attack. And, you know, again, playing in Miami, you know, has never really boded well for him. But, you know, I think people really need to slow down, give this guy a break, and, you know, understand it's a team effort out there. you know, as far as the offensive line, I'm just going to put it out there. Is there a chance for a last-ditch effort on Waters? That's the elephant in the room. You know, I know he's still, you know, technically, you know, signed with us there. But, you know, is there any possibility with the injuries?
And, you know, I'm just really wondering if that's even a possibility. But this week, it's going to be the longest football week of the season. I cannot wait for Houston. Guys, take care. Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Chester.
Thanks, Chester. He always gets it out, and then that's it. I don't think there's any chance.
Well, there's no chance.
There is no chance.
The deadline is passed.
Against the rules.
Oh, you can't even sign him?
No. Well, he's signed. He can't come back.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's over. Right. He will not play for the New England Patriots or anyone else in this football season.
Right. So, although the Patriots do still have the rights, so he can't play for anyone else next year either, unless the Patriots allow
that. Wouldn't that be funny if he just showed up the first day of training camp and had a normal year last year?
Right.
John Riggins did that.
Thanks. Really?
Took a year off in the middle of his career.
That's true. Thanks, Chester, for the call. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, all your emails, and there's a ton of them.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure, how many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow, so that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Second down and goal, Miami 7. Pass to the right, it's a screen pass to Welker. He's going to go to the end zone, standing up, touchdown. Wow, that was like stealing.
Pay him.
That was like stealing.
Period. Can't cover him.
I thought you said he said pay the man.
He said pay him, period. He did.
Oh.
He said pay him, period.
Oh.
Can't cover him. Although, I will say this. That's not exactly the play that would stand out to me as the reason why you pay him. They threw a screen to him. They caught the Dolphins in a blitz, and there was no one out there. I mean, it's not like he made a move at the line and shook a guy and got wide open in the end zone for a touchdown. No one can cover him.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Of course, we're talking about the Patriots wrapping up the AFC East against the Miami Dolphins, 23-16. And we just ate lunch, as you can hear. And everything else that's going on in the NFL. Lots of emails. Let's get to them now. Let's see. Aiden writes in. He says he's 14 years old. He lives in Texas. My family are Texans fans, and I'm a huge Patriots fan. So my family is always like, why do you like the Patriots? Ew. Any suggestions to say back to them? To prove the Patriots are really better than the Texans. Also, I recently got the app, and from now on, I'm going to listen to you guys before school, after school, during homework. I'm actually listening to you guys right now. You rock. So that's Aiden. So I would just say, Aiden, after Monday night, you'll be able to just definitively say that the Patriots are better because they're going to beat the Texans. So
I would just say stay away from Alvin in Texas. If you're only 14, stay away from Alvin. You don't want to get caught on those drugs, son.
Alvin
in Texas. He's the one who called us, told us.
Right.
Huge fan.
You want to get
in. Andy asked him if he knew anything about steroids and drugs in Texas, and he said, oh, yeah, you see the weed and the cocaine.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened
to great length.
Chocolate chip cookies again? What happened to the white chocolate cranberry?
They don't have any.
What do you mean they
don't ever
have
again?
Any?
Or
they don't have the ingredients?
No, they said they had to order them, and it takes a couple weeks to get them.
Oh, so they don't actually make them?
No, these are Otis Spunkmeyer.
They order the batter.
Oh, okay.
These are Otis Spunkmeyer.
But I guess, like, we're pretty much the only people that order them, so we went through the whole supply of batter.
Oh. Bill in Idaho writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, and Kevin. Love all you guys and download all the podcasts of Patriots Radio. I have a question. I heard that Tom Brady has won 10 division titles, which is more than any other quarterback. Who did he pass to get that record? Please keep up all the good work. You set the gold standard for all NFL team radio shows to emulate. That would be Joe Montana. He passed along the way. Joe Montana had 9. So I wonder at what point when you're a superstar NFL, do you stop having an NFL idol?
Never.
No?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because you can never, I mean, that's part of you. You remember yourself when he was great and you were a kid.
Yeah, like, but do you sit back and go, yeah, but now I'm doing things better than he did?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Cole from Waterloo, I was just planning on telling my parents to give me a subscription to the Patriots Football Daily app for Christmas this year. Can they do it as a gift, or is it easier to just ask for an iTunes gift card? If I get the app, do I have access to everything at pfwonline.com? The answer is yes and yes. It is easier to get an iTunes gift card, and then you could just apply that to the subscription, and you do get everything on pfwonline.com. You get it on the app. So all the articles, but the good thing about it is you can download the past issues as a PDF and you can read them online. So you don't even have to be connected to the internet to read your issues of PFW. So we're getting great reviews for the Patriots Football Daily app for the iPad.
I'd say the worst part about it is when you say daily.
Why?
Because it's annoying.
No, but I learned in marketing.
I know the emphasis. I got it. I know why you do it.
Over, you know, you have a little catchphrase and people remember it better, even if it's annoying.
For example, they don't know the name of our paper. We still, everywhere we go, is Pro Football Weekly,
right,
or Patriots Weekly, or you know, no one ever says Patriots Football Weekly.
Yep. Dan the Byman writes in. He says, isn't this what we've been asking for? Top-line defense and above-average offense teams before the Super Bowl. These two games coming up will test Belichick's coaching and personnel approach. Personally, I think it will be a couple of shootouts. Brady will also be tested for his mental toughness. Does he still have to win it all? This is a preview. Can't wait to see it. And are they going to sign Branch back? And what do you think most lethal weapon to counter the mass pass rush?
What?
Well, first of all, his first question is, do you think we'll see Branch back?
I do. I think there's still a chance with the limited numbers, the injuries. A little surprising. You know, he must not be healthy, I'm guessing.
Right. Otherwise, why Stallworth?
I mean, I guess
him?
You could argue Stallworth's a little bit of a different kind of receiver, and they didn't want another slot-type guy. But Deion's been both for them over the years, inside, out, slot. But I saw Tom Curran said he talked to Deion recently, and Deion expects to be back and was close or something. My guess is that's health-related.
Okay, and then the other question he had was, what's the best?
Spread them. Well, spread them and shred them. Now, yeah. I don't know if you have the personnel to spread them and shred them this week, but yeah. I think Brady, when they get the ball out of his hands quickly, timing offense, quick passes, spread them out, I think that would be the best attack for them this week if they feel like they have the personnel to get the job done.
And when you say mass pass rush, you mean blitzing. And I think if you're
Just blitzing. They're decent without blitzing. And then
no, but if you're a good quarterback and you know the blitz is coming, you can beat it.
Sure.
The key on defense is disguising that, and that's when, of course, you run into trouble.
Where is it coming from?
Right.
If I know when and where, I know how.
Yeah, the mass pressure doesn't necessarily mean blitzing, and Andy's right about that. I would be concerned if you had two shootouts in these two games, by the way, because I don't think, especially San Francisco, is not an offense that gears itself to shootouts. So if you got in one with them, that would worry me. Houston, I think Houston can play offensive more than they do. I think they choose to play it a little bit closer to the vest. Like I thought Sunday's game was an example of that. They jumped out to a 14-3 lead in that game. They were never in trouble. I think they sort of dialed it back, relied on their defense, forced a couple of turnovers, and won the game 24-10, whatever it was. But I think that's a game that they, without seeing it, I mean, it's always dangerous. Maybe they just played a terrible offensive game, and that's why they didn't score anymore. But it looked like the numbers-wise, Houston did, you know, some of the things that they want to. Now, they didn't get a lot out of Foster on Sunday.
They didn't try to either, though.
But, he only had 14 carries,
say. You know, they've talked a few times down there about trying to limit his carries because he gets so many. I mean, what was that number I had? He has, like, 9 games with 20-plus carries.
20 or more carries.
He's the heart of their offense, and I think maybe they use that as an opportunity. I think they had 14 for Forsett. Tied it out, balanced it out a little bit. So I think that may have been the case.
Even Tate had a few carries, too, and he just came back from an injury. But I don't think that either one of those I think if you get a shootout, I mean, a win's a win. Doesn't matter. These are two good teams, so you find a way to win. Who cares what the score is? But I'd be a little concerned if they ended up being shootouts because I don't think either one of these offenses is geared to that. And I would worry about what a good offense would do if San Francisco, for example, is putting 35 on the board on you.
Grimy Skiz from Miami writes in on Paul and Andy talking about the last score and Brandon Loy. Hey, guys, wasn't it fourth down on that play? So Belichick kind of went with the more sure thing. And why isn't Brady not looking for Lloyd anymore? Yeah, I think he was going for the sure thing there.
No, they kicked a field goal on fourth down.
Yeah, and I think that's more than going for a touchdown.
No one's arguing they should have gone for it.
On third down, they just set up a field goal by Brady falling on his face.
I think if he had seen the opening, he would have run into the end zone.
Well, yeah.
So you're not really trying.
That's not really trying to score.
If you're not really trying.
Yeah, he didn't take a knee.
No, but it was close to it. You're not really trying. You're not saying we're going to punch this damn ball in and win this damn football game.
Right.
They didn't have any interest of going into the line there. Brady turtled right away.
Well, he didn't want to fumble.
Right.
Fumble.
And Andy's point is they should have gone for the hammer and just run the ball into the end zone. Yeah. Well, tried to anyway. They didn't try to.
I think they did the right thing.
No, I think they did the right thing too. But that was the that was the genesis of the argument,
right?
Was not what they did on fourth down. No one would argue that a 7-point lead, go for the touchdown. Even Andy wouldn't argue that.
If that was not my intention with the comparison to fourth and two, my intention was you still had an opportunity to punch it in and say, we're ending this on offense right here. We're going up 14 points. You're not going to get two touchdowns on us at the end of this game. I think you leave the door ajar by a team having, because even if they get the touchdown first, which they didn't, they kicked the field goal first, if they recover an onside kick, they're close enough so that now all of a sudden you kick a long field goal because you set that situation up.
If you had scored on that play, that third down play, doesn't the other team gain like 40
seconds? 40
seconds. Right. That's big.
Okay, but I also gained points.
Yeah,
I made them go the length of the field rather than being able to stop and kick a long field goal.
Yeah, but it's still a two-score game. And now they have an
additional. I love how people throw around two-score game like it's the exact same thing. It isn't.
I understand that.
It's not like when you score, you're awarded a score. I scored once. I need to score again. There's a point total. Points are the most important thing in the National Football League.
That close to the end of the game when the other team has no timeouts. Maybe the seconds were more valuable than those extra 4 points.
Maybe. I don't agree with it then.
Okay. Brad writes in.
You just got to take Bill at face value.
He's in Detroit. What type of impact do you think Stallworth will make?
Limited. I didn't think he looked all that good in the summer. I don't see the elite speed. I mean, they need a body, and he's an experienced body who knows the system. But I'd be stunned if he came out and had a big game. I think there's a better chance that Deion Branch could still have a decent contribution when he comes back.
David in Maine, first off,
the guy's been out of football for entire season.
Just throwing one out there, I kind of agree with Andy, but maybe the fresh legs and you pop a deep ball somewhere that had a hard time connecting on any of these deep passes.
Sure.
You know, and for a guy like Stallworth, it's not going to be 8 catches for 120 yards.
Right.
It's going to be 2 for 70.
Right.
The real shame is that Greg Salas isn't available anymore. He's now off the...
Yeah, that's...
Why is that a shame?
I was curious about him.
You need another slot receiver.
Speaking of that,
still a slot receiver.
They lost another guy off the practice squad. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Matt Copa.
Yeah, the Eagles
got signed.
Copa.
Eagles are poaching guys off our.
So that's 3 guys they've lost off the practice squad in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. David in Maine. First off, can't say how lucky I am to have almost half my years filled by Tom Brady and the Patriots winning the AFC East. I have to get some money together to see TB12 inducted into Canton. In 35 years or whenever he chooses to retire, let's hope we can finish the job this year. And why is Eric such a dick? Seriously, why? Also, I'd like to hear a funny and random Fred story. Well, they just kind of happen, so.
Yeah, you can't force it.
Can't force it. So.
And we can't explain Eric. He's a single child. That may explain it.
Yeah, and it might have something to do with it. Did you see his tweet today?
No.
He says that he could really lose an entire day in a bookstore. So apparently he's
such an ass.
He's in a bookstore waiting for someone.
I'm not following him anymore.
Waiting for someone to meet him in a bookstore.
He's such an idiot.
Just the smell of the books.
He said that?
Well, no, but that's you know, to go on from there.
He's so ugh.
You could lose an entire day in a bookstore. Oh God. Wyatt, the Alaskan cowboy, says, "Did you hear the CBS announcers? They were saying, where's Brandon Lloyd? He's a giant playmaker for this offense. Does he know what Brandon Lloyd did this year? And are we confident in Gostkowski?"
I am. Paul's not. Paul's very much concerned.
I'm losing faith in my man this year.
You know, I heard Paul rant for a half hour the other day on the radio how he wasn't worried.
Let's see. Bad Kevin writes in. Says, "Hey, Fred and Paul.
Screw you.
There was always talk about who was the best team in the AFC. It is obvious that the top four are Houston, New England, Baltimore, and Denver. I have to tell you, the team that scares me the most is Pittsburgh. This is a team that has had a huge win, and they're going to get healthier. This has the feeling of the team that is going to get hot at the right time. We've seen this in the past from wild card teams. Didn't Pittsburgh do it a few years ago? Also, Paul, if the top four teams stay the same and Pittsburgh and Indianapolis get in, the AFC playoff teams will be the same. When is the last time that has happened? F the Jets.
The same as what?
So if the top four teams stay the same and Pittsburgh and Indy get in, the AFC playoff teams will be the same. Same as what? Because Indy wasn't in there.
Yeah, not the same
had the number one overall pick.
Not the same as last year.
Right. I don't know. Have to get better with
but,
Denver.
But, you know, I think what he, yeah, he, I think he got confused. But it is kind of odd that it would be the four same division winners. It's going to be the four same division winners. And Pittsburgh is probably going to be a wild card. Basically, it's the Colts for Cincinnati is the only change. And that is a little odd. That usually there's more turnover than that.
Let's go to the phones. Brian's in Brighton, Mass. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
We are doing fine. How are you doing?
I am doing well. one quick thing, because it came up while I was on hold. Fred, what's the status with the Patriots Football Daily app on Android?
Well, we are going to come out with something for Android, but it won't be the complete app because they don't have the same capability that Apple does with the subscription. But we're going to have a thing where you can, for a much less price, subscribe to the paper and get it in a kind of an enhanced PDF form.
Are we seeing this season or are we thinking off season?
I think before the season's out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. I got one question for you guys, and it's really been bothering me. I saw it in our game, and I saw it in the Pittsburgh game. Can you guys clarify for me, what's the difference between pass interference and illegal contact? Because I thought the Vereen pass interference was kind of iffy with that ball kind of going out of bounds. It seemed to me like illegal contact was more appropriate.
Illegal contact happens when the ball hasn't been thrown yet, and that's contact beyond 5 yards. You're allowed
but
to.
So in a scenario like that one, right, where it could be very arguable that the ball is uncatchable.
No, I didn't
but
say uncatchable.
It's illegal contact.
Illegal contact can happen at any time before the ball is thrown after 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Anytime you make, you know, significant contact with a receiver beyond 5 yards and the ball hasn't been thrown yet, it's illegal contact. If you grab onto him, it's holding. Once the ball's in the air, it's pass interference.
But pass interference also can be taken back if you say it's uncatchable.
That's right. Correct.
So what if it's uncatchable? Is that a non-call?
Yeah, they pick up
the
flag.
Yeah, if they had deemed that pass uncatchable, it wouldn't have been anything.
Okay. I thought they could resort back and just be like, okay, yeah, it wasn't catchable, but that was illegal contact.
No.
Okay.
All right.
That's my question.
Okay, yeah. Brian, thanks.
Very questionable call, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
That one?
Yeah.
That was a tough call.
Bruno in Florida. Just curious, how many 30-plus yard completions do the Patriots have for the year? I was at the game Sunday, and I think the Dolphins.
Oh, how many they have?
Yeah.
Or how many are they allowed?
How many do they have?
Oh. I don't know.
Three.
I was at the game Sunday. And
I was pointing to Andy because Andy's been writing about all the big plays and how they didn't allow a lot of them this week. And then all of a sudden he button-hooked me by going.
I was at the game Sunday, and I think the Dolphins played as good as they can for the talent. I think we need to throw a few deeper passes during the game. It would open up the defense, and the run game would have done more. It's amazing that we really don't have a deep threat.
Well, I was going to say, that goes hand-in-hand with the Lloyd disappearing.
Yeah, he's tried this sideline pass. He tried it 3 times on Thanksgiving and was incomplete. Tried it 1 more time in this game, and it was incomplete again.
What are you talking about?
It's the sideline pass that he throws.
Not to Lloyd.
No. it was
because Lloyd only had one ball thrown his game.
It's an over the – you know, it's the catch is supposed to be meant to be made over the shoulder.
Well, I think he needs to put that throw away.
Yeah.
I wrote – the interception came on that to Hernandez, and – you know, he did the same thing he tried with Deion Branch. He's tried it in recent weeks to Welker and Hernandez, maybe, and it just hasn't worked. They're not getting any separation. He seems to underthrow it a little bit and allows the defender to make the play. So that has been a bad play for a month plus now.
Yeah. Now, Edelman was wide open on a deep ball on Sunday, and he missed him. Flat out missed him.
Now, there was wind there. It was,
no, I know.
It was
I know
really breezy, and I don't know how much that affected. I asked B-Low after the game, did anyone ask if wind affected anything? No one asked. But
they asked Tannehill, and I believe he said no.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Now, it was enough wind that it affected. Bill took a timeout at the end of the first quarter to force Miami to kick a field goal into the wind, and then not only that, he was looked like he was sort of upset. Because he wanted the timeout a couple of seconds earlier because I think he was thinking, I want him to not only have to kick the field goal into it, but if he makes it, I then want him to have to kick off into it. So clearly there was enough wins that he thought there was a difference one way or the other.
Yeah.
Tannehill had a good quote that I liked. They asked about whether Philbin had said, you know, you guys got to score points this week. Were you surprised it was low scoring? Did you expect to have to score a lot of points to be in this game? And he said, well, you know, I don't think Coach Philbin ever really specifically said it, but we're not idiots. We know they score a lot of points. Right. And I like when players are just like, Captain Obvious, coming, you know, obviously. We know they score 35 points a game. We have to score a lot of points.
Juve is in West Palm Beach. I was at the game on Sunday with my wife and 11-year-old son. We had a blast. I think I saw Fred and Eric on their way out to the buses. Also got to see a lot of the players, including Bill and Tom. We met a lot of people that were from New England and just came down for the game. I was kind of disappointed that we did not score more points, but a win is a win. Miami played us real tough. I'm glad we won. Walking out to the parking lot, it is always a good feeling after a win. I think that we have a real shot of getting one of the top two seeds. I like the way the defense stepped up. The Mayo sack was awesome. With all the Patriots fans there, it seemed like a home game. It was just awesome.
I could use a bye. Not going to lie. Yeah. Use a week off.
I was thinking the other day, you know, I know it's blasphemous to say this, but if the Patriots do get to the AFC Championship, I was kind of like, you know, that'd be better on the road.
Oh, I was thinking that too, but probably for a lot different reasons than you are.
Why?
Well, I think they've had success winning
as AFC opposed to all the AFC title games we've lost here.
I know, and then you get to go to
we did lose one on the road. We've never lost one here.
Then you go to the AFC Championship party.
Which they don't have anymore.
Oh, they don't have those anymore?
No.
At all?
No.
I thought we just don't have them.
I don't know, AFC
Championship party?
I mean, I guess that's a possibility.
I believe that was a lockout casualty that never came back.
Oh.
Okay. Something along those lines. There's a story out there as to why they don't do it, but they haven't done it for the last few years.
Huh. Okay.
Hmm.
Now, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're right, Fred. Maybe you know something that Andy
maybe
and I don't.
Maybe if you go to Houston, they'll be so excited to be hosting it
that they'll have one of their own.
No matter what.
Bob McNair will host it. Bob McNair.
Is that his name?
I think so.
Phil from Nova Scotia.
Is that not his name, Freddie?
Who?
Houston owner? Bob McNair, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I guess Costas had a little, got on the soapbox at halftime.
I heard it.
Sort of, but he just used Jason Whitlock.
Right.
He basically just quoted and read Jason Whitlock's column. So, yeah, he was expressing the message, but it was all Whitlock's original thought.
Anyway, Phil from Nova Scotia says, Bob Costas' rant about gun control at halftime on Sunday Night Football was the wrong place, the wrong time, by the wrong person. I found it to be distasteful. The argument for gun control is legitimate, but too often Costas puts himself at the center of an issue which claims to have an easy fix for such tragedies as the one in KC. He stokes the political flames of controversy with buzzwords like gun control. I'm surprised he didn't blame rap music, video games, and energy drinks as well. The whole thing makes me very sad, and I wish there was more of a focus on domestic violence and mental health. These are issues that can unite us to improve our society instead of pushing political issues to the center of a debate that serves only to distract and divide us.
Well, it's more than just domestic violence and mental health. It's about 20 different issues. It's, again, the thing that I always ask, don't separate all the issues into one. I need somebody to tell me what the combination of drugs, alcohol, steroids, head injuries, the cocktail, I'm going to call it the killer cocktail. I mean, there's a lot, and maybe a predisposition to mental health among guys who take steroids and have head injuries and become alcoholics and take prescription drugs. I mean, there's so many layers
to it.
I mean, it's so easy to say it was concussions, or it's so easy to say it was steroids, or it's so easy to say it was alcohol, he was a drunk, or it's so easy to say he was just crazy. What about the chance that all those things are factors?
It's identifying it and treating it.
Right, and we're so far away from that. Yeah. You know, it's sad, but it is what it is.
It is, and that is...
You're a long ways away from that ever. Yeah. I mean, I heard Chris Nowitzki this morning on EEI, and he's, you know, we're in this to the end till there's a pill that you can take that will stop the progression of the CTI in the brain. Okay, that's one aspect of it, Chris, and I give you credit for that, but what about all the other stuff? You know, I know you need to kind of just focus your attention. That's what he does. But I still want people to be looking into the steroid use extendedly and the overall problems that come with the life these people choose in the NFL and in wrestling. You know, there's sort of that parallel with wrestling because it's, you know, tough schedule, physical beating that you have to get up for in a short span, steroids, head injuries. You know, there's a lot of the
same MMA. I mean,
other drugs. Yeah. But MMA, you fight and then you don't fight again for 6 months or a year, just like boxing. But wrestling, your head hits the mat, boom, on Friday night. Yeah. Saturday night, boom, your head hits the mat again in Manchester. Then Sunday night, boom. Monday Night Raw, you're in Boston, boom, your head. Now you're in a hotel and you're drinking and you're doing. I mean, there's some parallels between what you have to do in the NFL to be ready each and every week and what you have to do even on a more hectic basis for wrestling.
And on that gun control rant that Costas went on, and I agree with everything that you guys talked about in terms of the larger scale of the problem, but Jason Whitlock ended the column that Costas referred to by saying, you know, I don't know this, I don't know that, I don't know the other thing, but I do know this. If Javon Belcher didn't have a gun, him and his girlfriend would be alive. I wholeheartedly disagree with that sentiment. You know, if you're in that state and he's in that situation where he took out his girlfriend and then killed himself, you think that the fact that he didn't have a gun was going to stop him?
Well, it makes
you
the
could
decision
guarantee he wouldn't
and I'm
have
not
shot.
A, listen, yeah. I'm not a big gun guy. I don't like guns. I do think that in a lot of ways guns are too easily accessible.
And they escalate it. That's the part with Whitlock. I agree with. They escalate situations.
And they make the decision to kill a lot easier. It's a lot more thought involved if you're doing it with your bare hands
or a knife.
Or a knife.
There's other
it's
ways
more
to
personal
kill. Right.
But I agree with Phil from Nova Scotia. It's the wrong issue.
It's the wrong issue.
About.
It's not an issue. This is not a gun control issue.
It's about
issue.
Mental health and domestic issues and asking, seeking help early when you think you have a problem. Go, you know, we have this, and especially the warrior mentality and, you know, don't ask for help because it's a sign of weakness. Get help. At the first sign you think that things are going out of control for yourself, go get help.
But is that realistic?
And it's not. It's not in today's society.
On both levels. Right. I'm saying, A, it's hard to do as the person, but B, you know, you look at it, there's family members, there's teammates, there's friends. But how do you know that they haven't seen this with a lot of guys?
Right.
Because these guys live a lifestyle that we can't understand.
But if there was more of an openness to seeking help, it would help some of this.
No, I know. Yeah. But I it's just such a tough situation. And on one level, I really feel for the NFL as a whole. Dealing with it because your entire business is built on something that is
maybe not good for you.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, really to put it in simplest terms.
So it's a tough situation to go all in on cleaning it up. Probably means ending your league on some level. As we know it today, it ends your league. To really go all in on saying we can't allow head injuries, we can't allow.
Yeah, it's funny because I wonder, like back in the gladiator days, if they had discussions. You know, we have to extend these events a little bit. The guys are dying a little too early.
No,
so we have to have rules to extend the event.
I don't think they did.
No,
no,
I don't think that would entertain.
No. I mean, 300. The guy kicks a guy down a well. I don't think they thought about things the same way.
How about Whitlock, though? You know. I guess he was on the radio yesterday, and he compared the NRA to the KKK because they're providing these guns for black kids in the inner cities and drugs. Guns and drugs. Like, it's only, you know.
Wait a minute. They provide them?
Oh, yeah. No,
the NRA drives up with a van. Guns here. Get your guns.
That's what he said. He didn't say that part, but he said they provide for blacks in the inner city. Well, they want to kill off the blacks. It's just like the KKK.
Gerardo. Writes in.
It's Gerardo to say.
He says, greetings from Mexico City. You guys rock. Finally, Hola. The Patriots finished a close game the way we've been expecting. This time, it wasn't Sanchez fumbling the ball or Fitzpatrick throwing an interception. This time, the Patriots did their job, at least in the fourth quarter. I have two questions for you guys. First, are you concerned about Gostkowski's performance? It seems that he has lost confidence. Second, do you think that the 2012 Patriots are better than the 2011 Patriots? It seems that if you compare every NFL team with its 2011 version, it's difficult to find real improvements, especially among 2012 true contenders. I'd say that the Falcons and the Broncos are the only ones that clearly are better than last year. And by the way, Jackie's doing a great job, but I miss Lindsay. I think I have a crush on her. Well, three That's wives, if you're listening.
Interesting question.
I think the Patriots are better than they were last year.
I think if they get healthy, they are.
I don't think they're all that unhealthy, but I don't think that they I agree with the emailer. I think Denver and Atlanta are substantially better, and then you can make an argument that the Patriots are better. I don't think they're substantially better. I don't think Houston's substantially better, but I think they are because
they have
a quarterback.
Yeah, they're substantially better because they're healthy. They haven't lost all their guys yet.
You know, San Francisco, I think in 3 weeks you might say they're substantially better depending on how this goes with Kaepernick. But I agree with the emailer. I don't think you can definitively say it about too many teams. You know, the Giants, the Packers.
Right.
No.
Who improved vastly?
You know, Baltimore, I think, is not anywhere near as formidable as they were last year, even though their record is the same.
Now that Suggs tore another, you know, steroid injury, torn bicep.
And by the way, wants to keep playing.
You see, I'm sure he'll be fine. Well, I mean, he's lucky he tore it in early December. He'll be back by January, the way they do things in Baltimore.
Well, Carlos Dansby, they said, is also playing with a biceps tear. And so it can be done. But, you know, I got to imagine it does affect, huh?
Oh, yeah. And it, I don't know whether he truly tore the whole thing or if it's a tear you can play with. If it's ruptured, I don't think you can play.
Right. That comes right off the bone.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, you lose the ability to bend your arm.
I guess they had a video of this guy. He was like this world champion arm wrestler. And during one of his events, he ruptured his bicep, and it just looked like an accordion.
Yeah,
it just fell.
Yeah.
It was gross.
Those are the things I have to turn my head on Tosh when he puts them on.
Ugh. Walter in Cambridge, he's talking about Jacksonville in the bye week. If they're not playing for a top two seed, do you think they should treat Jacksonville as a bye week and let Mallett play? Let Houston and San Francisco be a measuring stick. I don't want to take it easy on the Dolphins, so Jacksonville game seems to be a perfect spot to get players healthy.
Well, the only way they would rest in Jacksonville is if they definitively
clinched a bye.
No, I would say
they can't
the other.
Be out.
I would say the other. I would say the only way they would rest is definitively if they're out. I think if they've clinched the bye, he'll play them because I don't think he believes in that whole 3 week rest.
Yeah.
I think if they've clinched a bye.
I agree with you.
I think the only way is if they definitively have zero chance of winning the bye.
I agree with you.
And what are the chances of that?
I agree with you. I don't think there's
any
chance.
Is it possible at all?
I think it's impossible.
So they're playing.
How much more? I know the bye is precious. You know, those two slots is precious. But when you are a division champion, you know that even if you have to play that first week, your game is at home. Does that decrease the emphasis on getting the bye? You know, does it make it just a little less important?
No.
And if you do need to get guys healthy, let's say you're in that last week, you know, does that factor in? Like, you know what? It's more important to have these guys healthy than it is getting that extra week. When you know at least your first game is going to be at home.
But I mean, it's hard to say that those two things would be exclusive. Because if you get the bye, now you have time to rest. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance. You could make an argument. Is it more? I mean, you're always at home, regardless. Because that's not a new thing.
Right.
I mean, you're always at home. But I guess you could make an argument if you're banged up a little bit, you know, a Gronkowski, you know, if that week 17 game, you needed to win that game to get the bye, and you thought that he was important enough to have active for that game, do you bring him back or something like that? To me, the bye is the biggest single advantage in sports.
Right.
The NFL bye in the first round. It's one fewer game you have to win your league's title. It's the only league that happens in. Every other league, you have to win the same amount of games, regardless if you're the highest seed or the lowest seed, to win the championship.
What about baseball now? They have that playoff game.
There is one. You're right. You can win one game,
but it's
a
not
one
a
game.
Series.
Right. It's a one game play-in. Yeah.
So it's still not
the
equivalent
that
of
is
a week.
New. That is new. But in basketball and hockey, there are no byes, and in baseball, there really aren't any byes. It's just a play-in game to get into the regular round of four.
Yeah.
So I think it's the single biggest advantage in all of sports is to get a first round bye in the NFL.
And it's a team value. That's the other thing. Like, maybe for the quarterback, you really have to think on an individual level, but the bye gives 46 guys a chance to not play football that week and to be healthier and to prep, and I think that's huge.
I'd like to see them expand the playoffs and eliminate the bye.
One less game in the season or just more playoffs?
No, another round of playoffs.
Okay.
More games in that week, so you know, you go another week longer, whatever you have to do. Because I do think that I know the argument for it is, well, we want to reward our best teams. We want to see if we can get our best teams to the title. And I understand that's certainly sound logic. But I'd like it to be, instead of six teams, I'd like it to be eight teams in the playoffs.
Man, not me.
And just go.
I don't like watering down playoffs.
No. Brandon from Cali.
Patriots in 2008 would have won the Super Bowl.
Yes, I know.
Right. Brandon from Cali wants to get high. He says, hey, guys, first off, I want to say that I felt that McDaniels called a bad game. I mean, like, we had a sub or a hurt lineman in like every spot, yet we drop back every damn play in an empty backfield. Like, come on, are you serious? Why not get Brady killed? I guess, and also Aaron looked great on Sunday, minus his drop pass. He looked 100% healthy. Lastly, Andrew Luck has almost 20 interceptions. If he wins Rookie of the Year, then Mark Sanchez should win MVP. What? Okay. So he's saying with his interceptions, he should not
numbers
be in
guys.
The running with.
Numbers, guys, it's not close. Griffin's got far better numbers than Luck.
Mark in Fall River writes in, I'm sure Brady baby storyline is about to blow up in these parts, so I figured I'd throw my two cents in to kick it off. This is how I see it playing out. Giselle goes into labor on one of the next two Sundays, forcing Ryan Mallett to play a game against a very good opponent, either Houston or San Francisco. Improbably, Mallett leads the team to victory, spurring a week-long debate about why shouldn't we be paying Brady all this money when Mallett can come in and do the same thing. In fact, he probably wouldn't fold in the playoffs like Brady has recently. I have to agree with Paul. We Patriots fans are a group of ignorant, ungrateful, devoid of self-awareness, never satisfied homers. I know you never said those words, Paul, but we all know you're thinking it.
And then David Stern would fine the Patriots $250,000 for
ridiculous
for not playing Brady in the game, not notifying the proper authorities before.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story, Freddie?
Yeah.
What a joke.
He sent them all home before the game in the plane. Why bring them out?
They were on a road trip.
Oh, there was a long road trip.
Did they really send him home on Southwest?
Oh, I don't know.
Or was that just a joke?
I don't know how they went.
Because somebody was joking about that, and they were like, imagine that. You're a kid, and you get on the plane, and Tim Duncan's sitting next to you. And the tie-in here to us would be the long-standing comparisons between Popovich and Belichick.
Absolutely.
As the masters of the two most dominant franchises that kind of have a team-similar philosophy, but also as borderline a-holes who give double barrels to the league anytime they can. So this is very much something that, you know, the Stern Popovich could be a Goodell-Belichick type feud in a similar. And I can't even imagine how Bill would react.
Yeah, and I know that Goodell has been upset about the way teams have treated that final week. But to his credit, he hasn't done anything as radical as David Stern, who just thinks he's the omnipotent dictator.
Yeah, you want to talk about, you know, people think that, you know, Goodell thinks he's a sheriff and all this, but, man, nothing compared to David Stern.
No.
Yeah. Right up until the point, I don't really understand why he had to announce like a year and a half early that he was retiring.
Exactly. It's another example.
What is that, like, all about?
To give everybody proper time to pay their respects.
To get the transition plan in place. You know,
yeah, but you do that behind the scenes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you need to have a big press conference and pomp and circumstance and I'm the greatest? And
I'm so with Andy on
like,
that.
I don't get it.
Totally another example of him trying to be an a-hole.
Tony,
I don't think he tries. I think he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
Tony in Somerset, Old England. First time emailer to the show, and I've only found this show at the start of the season.
Welcome aboard.
Just wondering what your thoughts are regarding Tlaib. The Dolphins game was the first I've managed to see since he joined us, and if I'm honest, he didn't look that good. Anytime I saw him, the receivers seemed to have a fair amount of separation. Interested to hear your thoughts, and keep up the good work. You keep me entertained while driving my lorry to work. At work.
Is that a girl?
I think it's some kind of tractor. He says at work, so...
A lorry.
L-O-R-R-Y. Maybe we could look it up.
Interesting. I don't think Tlaib has played all that well in the, what is it now, three games that he's been here. I think he's been beaten consistently at times and in zone, in some man, whatever. And he's, you know, not only been physically beaten, but other times he's looked like he was confused as to the, and that's not just on him. Every corner that's been on this team has looked confused as to where the safety help was and how that was kind of unfolding. But I don't think he has been the positive force you would have hoped over. I mean, what do we have now? Four games to go. You're kind of halfway through the regular season portion of why you got him.
And Andy wrote about this in the post game on the Read and React for the paper, just about how often it seems like he's looking at the safeties and gesturing there. And he did it on the play that Hartline ran right by him in the first half and Tannehill overthrew him. I don't know. He might be right. So maybe we're beating up a little bit on Tlaib.
Right.
And it's not just him, which is the danger of sort
of. But chances are the new guy, you're saying, well, does the new guy know more than the guys that have been here?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm wondering.
The guys that have been here were having the same problem with other corners earlier.
Well, maybe now. So that lends credence to the fact that maybe Tlaib is
recognizing.
No,
but I haven't seen guys gesturing with the palms in the air as often. And I know what Andy's saying, and we've seen it throughout the year in terms of the safeties, but I don't remember Devin McCourty turning around and looking at the safety every time he got beat deep with his hands in the air.
Because he's a better guy. That's why he's a captain.
Kind of what I'm getting at is it his, you know, is he getting beat?
Sean Springs
was. Is he one of these guys now that, I get beat. If I gesture to the safety, everybody will say, he was supposed to have help on that play. That's what I'm kind
of
wondering about.
That reminds me of 2003 when they got rid of Lawyer Malloy the week before.
Yeah, Antoine Harris.
The week before the game, and we get into Buffalo. And I don't know if it was you, Paul, or Brian Moy says, you know, how long will it be before, you know, guys start pointing finger? Sure enough, that first play, Ty Law yelling at somebody back there.
Yeah, Ty Law turned around to Antoine Harris as if to say, you know, where were you?
Right.
You know, as to, you know, Lee Evans and whoever else it was just running by him all day. And Buffalo was great.
Yeah. That's a little different, though. Ty's boy had just been. I think that was as much a
show the coach.
Show the coach.
Right.
See what you just did.
Right.
This is a different situation.
I'm wondering if Tlaib is really in the right, or if, like you said, McCourty's just a better guy.
Right.
And he's
McCourty's not going to show anybody up.
Right.
He's not going to.
Let's see.
Speaking of McCourty, we'll have a getting to know with him this week.
Oh, and by the way, did they set up? I think they were going to try to get Welker for the PFW.
Nice.
Okay.
So
white on white.
Don't forget to congratulate him because his
always say you're pasty
his
white.
Horse won at Gulfstream in the third race.
So. Is that real?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
No, it's true.
Just like that.
We're gonna get the video.
His horse won on Gulfstream in the third. It sounds like a fake.
Should I say it to him? So first, before we get into this, Wes, I understand that your horse won in the third race at Gulfstream last week.
And what's his horse name? I knew it a while ago.
Because
remember it was in England or something.
Yeah, I forget the name.
Do they sedate him to fly him?
The horses?
Yeah.
Probably.
Because I can imagine a horse would flip out on a plane.
Yeah.
Get those big ears to pop.
let's see.
Can't chew gum.
Michael says he's from L.A. How are you guys? Fred, you're my favorite. No gay jokes from Andy, please. And Paul, you're pretty cool. But my question...
Clearly you don't know Paul.
Is now that we're tied for second
seed...
Hamburger
cool in about 15 years.
Now that we're tied for second seed since the Ravens lost, what do you think our playoff future is going to look like? And when we beat Houston, how will that be with the seeding lineup? Well, a lot of it depends on what the other teams do. It's not...
A win over Houston would be big, though. Not necessarily because it's Houston that you're beating, because I still think that they'd be hard-pressed to lose the number one seed. But...
Well, let's put it this way.
If the Patriots win out, I think they're almost certainly going to get the number two seed.
Well, hold on, though. But mathematically, when it comes to getting a seed, the Patriots do not control their own fate. Is that correct?
Correct. That's why I said they almost certainly get the number two seed.
Because they need it to stay a three-way tie, potentially.
Right.
So and it's not going to. They need Denver to beat Baltimore because they are playing each other.
Right.
So that, you know, something's going to happen in that game.
But doesn't Baltimore have another tough game, too?
Baltimore has all tough games.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And
Baltimore
and
plays Washington,
Denver does not.
Washington, Denver, and the Giants, and then at Cincinnati is the last four games for Baltimore. They could lose all four of those. They could lose any of the four, I should say. I mean, chances of them losing all four. I mean, Baltimore's just not playing very well right now, and the injuries are killing them. They have some kid playing cornerback who's played great for in the last few weeks that – They didn't even really know anything about. They're down to like their third and fourth cornerbacks. They have all kinds of trouble there.
So
in
are the Patriots.
Ravens land.
Wes in Richmond, Virginia, is this
just who
a
we
glass,
started with?
Wes says, "Is this a glass half full type of game? I thought the Patriots struggled on offense, but were able to close the game out on the ground. I felt like the divisional trap game they seem to lose every year, and it was nice to see them win without playing their best. Do you think that Guskowski's job is in jeopardy? Not this year."
Even if you're really concerned, is there anybody out there you could bring in and feel better about?
Right. Shane Graham's on another team.
I mean, you may have your fingers crossed, and it may cost him his job if he fails, but you can't make that change now.
Right. Also, is Zolak as much of a D-bag as he comes across on Patriots TV and radio? Yes, absolutely.
Actually, no. He's not. I agree. He kind of comes off as a D-bag.
Once again, though, lighting it up on the bus. No regard for anyone else.
Did you hear him? The door opened, and the first thing I heard was you people discussing, can we put him on bus 5? And like they were discussing Scott Zolak's gas when they walked in the door.
He makes you like smell like roses.
I don't smell.
He really thinks
really?
That. Just so you know, he really
for the most
thinks
part,
that
I don't.
Smell.
And I certainly refrain.
Talk about delusion.
I do my best on buses and planes
oh, yeah.
to hold it in, even though sometimes it hurts my belly.
Kat from Chicago says, a lorry is a truck, specifically a commercial.
Oh, I should have known that. It's in Thomas the Train. What? One of the guys' name is Lorry.
Oh, okay.
Damn it, I should have known that.
508-298-0398 is the ace.
Disappointed in myself, Paul.
Okay. Let's go to Jose in Maryland. Hey, Jose.
Can you see?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm a second-time caller.
Okay. Well, we congratulate you.
Was,
shoot for three.
Way back. What's that?
Shoot for three, eh? Calls.
What was that?
Nothing. Trace.
The first time I called was last year before the playoffs. I was the overly confident guy about Brady. He's going to make it up for Kraft and all that.
Yep.
But this year, I want to get on this year mostly. What was I going to say? I have two things I want to get on. Brady is one, but the most important one is the line. I'll get to that second. But what really annoyed me on Sunday was how Brady overthrew Hernandez on that first, I don't know if it was the first pass to Hernandez that day. I mean, that game.
Yeah, it was a little off his fingertips, but it was a high pass, yeah.
Exactly. See, but on that, and I'm pretty sure the Dolphins were playing a zone, and I'm pretty sure Brady would have hit him right in his chest. You know, he could have got that touchdown. Now,
yeah, he was off a little. Brady was off. There's no doubt about it.
And on that one play that they were playing, man, he went to Hernandez. On that interception, he hits him in stride, but, you know, it's a pick. But it's not more of, you know, like the man or zone. It's more like Brady has an act for throwing the ball to receivers when, they, like, the defender's on him, but with his head, like, turned, you know. And, like, these defenders, they, like, I don't know, it's like they're more of, like, they're not our defenders, you know, where they – don't turn our heads, right. Don't turn their heads, but
well, yeah, I don't think it's a big problem. I mean, you know, Brady's got what, five interceptions on the season, and I think a lot of the offense is dependent on the guys just being at a spot, and he doesn't have to have his head turned, you know, because he expects him to be where he's supposed to be at a certain time, and it's all about timing.
And that was a great physical play too. He made a nice one-handed play on the ball.
Yeah,
it wasn't just
very last second. But see, what if Brady does this like in the playoffs? I remember this. It was the exact same play with Edelman in the AFC Championship. I don't know if you guys remember. And Webb picked him off the exact same way, where he had his head turned and then, like, you know, somebody took a chance or something like that.
Yeah.
No? Okay, and he did it with the Seahawks, you know. And it's
he's nice. Done it a lot.
He has done it, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, he has four interceptions.
I think we should bench him.
Okay.
No, Mallett would
Brady's
be better.
Yeah.
Brady's number one. I'm just, you know.
No, I know you're not killing him. I know you're not.
Overthrow him or something. All right. But the second thing is that Nick McDonald, the right guard, he went in for Dan Connolly. I don't know. What's up with Dan Connolly? Like,
he's got a back injury, too.
Because Nick McDonald, I don't think he should. Marcus Cannon. I like these large size guards because, like, you know how Brady, he's always kind of, like, you know, jumpy when he's getting pressured up the middle? Because the tackles are fine. Like, I think when he's getting pressure outside, Brady's, like, he's just excellent when he, like, steps in the pocket. Like, you know, it's like nothing to him. So, but it's up the middle that I'm more worried about. If you guys can let me know, like, if it's a better transition to go with just Cannon and hopefully –
Hey, you know, I defer to Dante Scarnecchia. He knows his players and what the game plan is. And
well, he did put in Cannon, though.
Right. Yeah, he eventually did, right?
But then McDonald went back in, so I don't know if
McDonald
was...
is the backup at that position right now. And Cannon,
every time.
Cannon has not played a lot of guard.
Yeah.
Cannon has not played a lot of guard here.
I believe that's – is that the first?
I don't think it's the first, but it's probably the longest.
Because I know that Bill said at some point in training camp that he has not played any guard.
Yeah, no, he's limited experience at guard right now. He's primarily been a right tackle for them, and they've moved him around a little bit.
He could swallow up some space, you know, but the left guard, Thomas.
Yeah.
He's able to hold his own. You know, I don't know if it's my television, but he looks kind of slim, you know, for a guard.
He has a great build. I have said if I ever open a restaurant, he's my bouncer. He is not fat at all. He is jacked. Yeah. He is a big, thick man.
So, and what's up? And I'll Mark let Tate. You guys go, but what's up with the Mankins? Like, when do you guys expect him to come back? Pretty much it, man.
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Later rather than sooner. I think they're trying to get him healthy for the postseason. I don't think they're looking to rush him back for a game or two here or there. I think the idea now is to get him as healthy as possible for the primary goal. And you're now in the postseason, so it's not even like a, you know, distant. You know you're in the postseason. You're playing in January. You want Mankins playing in January. And we've also seen that he doesn't need time to get ready. Remember? Cleveland? Right. Boom.
Sweet. All right, guys.
Okay, Jose.
Keep it up.
Thanks. Jose,
thank
try
you.
For a third next year.
Let's go down to Texas. Yep. Alvin is there. Hey, Alvin.
It's our resident cocaine dealer.
Did you got the yayo, man?
Paparino and Eric and I don't remember the other guy.
Oh, Brett. Screw you. Oh, wait. What? Did he say me?
No, Andy, how do you think?
Oh, you love Andy. Yes. Andale.
He's offensive in so many different languages.
I'm glad we're in fourth. Right now, we're in second place because we broke this. I mean, right now, because of the AFC, we're in second place right now.
Right. That's right.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Now, does everybody think that's the like be-all, end-all?
All we have to do is win the next four games, and
no.
We're in.
That's not necessarily
true. That is
not true. That's not true. If Baltimore beats Denver and we win all our games and Baltimore wins all their games, we're out of the seeding.
Now, it's not going to happen, but.
You know, we're out of the second
but
seed.
Like Fred, the way that Fred put it is perfect.
What do you mean about that? I mean, like, I thought it was because of the AFC thing.
If Baltimore beats Denver, if Baltimore wins out and the Patriots win out, they both have three losses and Baltimore beat the Patriots.
It's no longer a three-way tie.
We only win a three-way tie with Baltimore and Denver. We don't win a one-on-one tie with Baltimore.
And they win a three-way tie with them right now.
Right.
You know.
What if they all lose one?
They all go like 2-2?
What if they all lose one?
I
don't know.
Depends on which one.
You thought what?
I thought we were 7-1.
You lost to Baltimore. You lose the head-to-head. It wouldn't get to conference.
You're thinking of conference. That's not even a factor early on. That comes down later.
Oh, no. It's the first.
Well, right now it is.
Yeah.
But because there's a three-way tie. But if there's not a three-way tie, conference is way down the list.
Oh, God. I tell you what, because I saw that on CBS when the Baltimore Ravens actually laid an egg.
Well, right now.
Well, because as of right now.
Right now. But
like Andy said, it's a three-way tie, and you win the three-way
tie.
You got
to understand.
That's why. You know, breaking ties on December 2nd is useless.
Right.
Oh, I know.
Right. We need to really be looking for Baltimore to lose to Denver. That would be big. Or any other game.
Oh, yeah. Baltimore, it doesn't matter if they lose to Denver. Matter of fact, you might be better off if Baltimore loses to somebody and then beats Denver
right.
for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, breaking news. Terrell Suggs is out for the season, isn't he?
Who is?
Oh, I didn't see. I mean, he tore his bicep, and there was a question.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to play.
Yeah, and he
was right the first time.
And I don't know if there's any update, but someone said that they're not convinced that it's torn.
Brandon Fraser sent me like a text message CFW on Facebook. He was telling me that, he's going to be out of the season. Are you sure, man?
Yeah, you got to watch out for what
he says he wants to play, but, I mean, he's obviously hurt, so I don't really think it matters all that much.
He might make a stop down your way and pick up some stuff and get back in by January.
Yeah. All right, Alvin. Alvin
might
from
be
Texas.
Worth it at this
Thanks
time
for the
of
call.
Year. How fast are they going to test me?
Jerry Brown, Governor of California, is on the line. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, good morning, Alon,
Yes, how you doing?
Oh, doing great. I had a couple of comments, and one of them was about the game that Mayo played down in Florida. I thought he had a great game, but specifically when they were down at the goal line and he sacked Tannehill, I'm sure that when everybody saw Mayo come clean and he had a straight run at the quarterback, everybody was confident he was going to tackle the guy, put him on the ground, turn around and walk away with no yellow flags on the ground. And unfortunately, that's just not true in a lot of cases. You see these guys coming in, they club the guy over the head and this, that, and the other, and next thing you know, it's 15-yard penalty and first down or whatever. So I thought Mayo did a great job.
He did.
He did.
That's
did
Andy's. Andy has a quick update today on Patriots.com. We call Take Tuesday. And that play and a play that he made on the previous
two plays
snap
earlier,
were two of the highlights that Andy talks about. Mayo has been a guy who's gotten a few of those penalties, by the way, this year.
And I thought you were going to, when you were making your point, I thought you were going a different direction. I was thinking, did everybody feel confident that he was going to make the play? Because Tannehill is an athletic guy who can make people miss, and we've seen Mayo and these inside linebackers, Spikes, miss at times. So I don't think that's as, you know, even though you're unblocked, I call that a Dan Klecko sack, and you get the free run at the quarterback. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that can make you miss. They can make you lose that one-on-one battle, and he just made it look business as usual. I'm taking him down. And Tannehill was looking to the left side, so you can't even say blindsided him.
Yeah, the design of that play was terrific, though. They had A little bit of a delay, I thought.
Well, I don't know if it was.
He called it a delayed blitz.
I don't know if it was a delayed. A lot of times, if you're in man coverage on the back and the back stays in to block, you become a fifth rusher. And I don't know if that was the case. He saw the back declared. The back declared, I'm blocking Scott. I'm helping Chip.
So I'm free to do
it.
Now,
I don't think it was that, because I think if that were the case, he would have rushed to the outside. Because even though the back, Thomas, steps to the outside to sort of declare that I'm blocking, he can still release to the outside. So you still kind of need to, otherwise he's unaccounted for in the defense. You dump it off and boom. So I think it was probably a delayed blitz. He does a little like kind of half step trot thing and then hits it. But, and nobody's been clear. You know, I read the Patricia comment on it, and I have no idea what he said. He says things that I can't even put together. You know,
all 11 of our guys are trying to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, he started talking like about that. Other plays. And so I think it was probably a delayed blitz, but there's also just the chance that he read his man and becomes the extra blitzer.
All right, Jerry.
By the way,
yeah, go ahead.
By the way, I have one more comment.
Sure.
I was going to make a comment about Fred of how to improve the show, but actually this morning I think y'all did a better than average attempt at not only the analysis of the game, but the overall analysis of the game. But what I was going to suggest is, and it would probably take less than 5 minutes, but we seem to have so many backups playing these days, and when you're watching on television, because the television follows the ball or whatever, you really can't get a feel for what each of the players are doing. And since you're at the game every game, perhaps every Tuesday morning you should take 5 minutes and run down the backups and say, these are the guys that were in. This is how I feel that they played or whatever. You don't have to do a super in-depth analysis, but just kind of an overall view of how did Thomas do, or how did this guy do, or how did that guy do.
Okay, well, we'll have Eric do that because he does the big analysis
Nothing
on Tuesday.
Nothing else. Is there anybody in particular, Jerry, that you're wondering about?
Well, it's like I said, it's any of the backups that are in there that are not normally in there, and everybody is wondering, how did this guy play? And sometimes it's hard to tell, obviously, by watching television or whatever.
Okay.
All right, Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. We'll look at that.
You had a better-than-average phone call,
well,
I thought.
I think that's the thing about football, though, too, is you don't always know. You think the guy looked okay, but he turns out he wasn't doing what he was supposed to, or vice versa. He looked pretty bad, but it wasn't his fault. Because,
yeah, I'm a big like, for example, the play we just talked about with Mayo. If indeed he's in man coverage and he can blitz upon the declaration of the running back as a blocker, well, say he did that and he slips out and it's a touchdown.
Right.
Well, then there's one thing, but if he was actually blitzing, if it was a pure blitz, well, then that's not his responsibility. That play changes.
Right.
Even if he doesn't get there
that
and he dumps
somebody
it off.
Else
right.
Do what they're
so
supposed to do.
It can look very, you know, one way or the other, but it's not black and white unless you have that little play sheet in front. That's why every coach, when he's calling it, has the guy writing the play down next to him. So when they watch film, even them, who they remember most things off the top of their head, but they know exactly what the role was on that play right. And then how to grade it.
And in Andy's situation there, the hypothetical that he brings up, in the post game, when you're watching that, you look and you see, oh, here comes Mayo on a blitz. They saw it, and they beat the blitz, and they just flipped it over his head and threw it at Thomas. No one's going to sit there and say, Gerard Mayo screwed that play up.
Right.
Nobody watching the game other than a coach that knows what the call is going to sit there and say, Gerard Mayo made a mistake there.
Right, shouldn't have done that, right?
Which is why I think it's very dangerous to take those kinds of sites for anything more than just, you know, a piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
They're not useless.
Best guess.
No, but
they're
even
beyond best
guess.
But it's not even a best guess. It's just, it's a piece to the puzzle when you can get an idea, but their guess is not best. Their guess is a guess, just like anybody else's. I wouldn't certainly, Andy, you know, maybe knows a little bit more because he played a little linebacker and knows that there are times where, yeah, it's
at a
delayed
low level.
It's a delayed blitz, or he has the responsibility.
Same
of that
level
back.
Your head coach played at. The greatest mind, the man you believe who should be president, pope, dictator, and all that. The same level he played at.
Oh, you mean the guy who's been in the league for over 30 years?
How many snaps? How many snaps? How many snaps?
I think he's seen it all.
How many snaps? How many snaps he played in the NFL?
No, it's funny when you said that.
What do Bill Belichick and Andy Hart have in common? They played college football in the NESCAC, and they never played a down in the NFL.
Say something else.
Neither one of them have never been in my kitchen.
Good. Say it. I like it. Say it.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, you culturally challenged sports writer Nimrods. The word lorry means truck. I mean, all three of you have been to London. I know Andy didn't want to come out of his hotel room, but still, are any of you tards aware of anything outside the greater Boston metropolitan area? Gee whiz. I mean, I live in Brooklyn. Idiot capital of Earth, and even I know what a lorry is.
Yes, but you're homosexual. It makes a difference.
I think Brooklyn Matt doesn't really know these things. He just likes
to He looks them up and then he yells at us. Right. You know, if I had the,
I think he's homosexual and wants Eric.
If I had the luxury of looking it up.
Imagine the irony
of
that.
Stopping these references.
I know.
But there's an
ironic point. There's nothing wrong with being.
I didn't say there is. The stalking of Eric is where I have the problem. And the irony of it that Eric would do anything to get a girl and Brooklyn Matt would do anything to get Eric and they both are, you know, unsatisfied.
Do we make a declaration that we can no longer do that?
What?
Make what? Make homosexual references?
I asked Kevin to take them out of the opens.
Oh.
Not have opens.
Well, yeah, that's not appropriate.
I would agree with that. But I just, if we're trying to curtail something, I want to be, you know, made aware of it.
Wearing red jerseys, for example.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
What's red jerseys?
Oh, it's just a joke. He wants to be in. If there was a rule against wearing red, he should have been in on it.
Yeah, I wanted to show up with my red shirt on.
Well,
someone said
for the holiday party.
Right.
He's all festive and such.
You going?
What are you saying? He looks like Santa?
I'm going to
make today, by the way, is the...
are you making a brief appearance as well?
The holiday party for the employees.
Paul and I got to get to Matthews. Yeah.
I got things, but I will...
Oh, you're such a bleeping loser.
I'm
going to go over after the Comcast filming.
Okay, that's what
me
I was.
Me too. I'm with Fred.
Andy and I were planning on joining.
We're going to go over, right? We got to film that show.
I hear you, bro.
4 to 5.
4 to 5.
I'll be out.
Will there be scallops wrapped in bacon? That's a pasto d'oeuvre.
Fred, correct? When's the holiday party for the guys that have to do radio till 6?
Oh, Cry Me a River.
Unbelievable.
Oh, Cry Me a River.
You got Victor waiting, you know.
Victor.
Let's see. Ricky in Miami says, he's from Mobile. He says, I don't.
Then he ignores him.
Wait a minute.
I don't think.
Wait, how did Miami and Mobile get confused?
I don't know. I don't think the try to do a lot because they have to play Houston next week and they want the Houston like we can do. Okay. Sorry I started that email.
It was Mobile, all right.
That's one of my pet peeves.
They didn't show anything?
The Patriots don't show anything in the regular season.
Right.
Cavern in Gainesville, quick question, and maybe it's just me hating Baltimore, but I'm a bit suspicious of their medical staff. How are they able to get Suggs and Lewis back so quickly?
I don't know how you can't be suspicious
of that.
From
what have always been known as season-ending injuries, Achilles and a torn tricep. Andy was talking about Houston being dirty last week, but I'd like your opinion on Baltimore's ability to get these back. Guys back, especially now, if Suggs comes back from a ruptured bicep. On another note, aren't Houston's linebackers all hurt or banged up?
Well, yeah. Cushing is obviously out for the year.
Reed is.
Brady James and Tim Dobbins, I want to say it's Tim Dobbins, have come in replace of him, and they're both banged up. I have to look a little bit closely. But they missed time last week. Brooks Reed got hurt on Thanksgiving. He is probably not going to play in this game either. They said on Thanksgiving it would be 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. This would be 3. I doubt if he'll play. They're pretty banged up on defense, and their corners have been banged up. Jonathan Joseph has been out a little bit. I didn't check to see if he actually played last week. Did he come back? That was something that I actually meant to.
I was reading the transcript, though, and I'm pretty sure he calls him
John Joseph.
No, John Jay or Jay John. And then in the brackets, it has to say Jonathan Joseph.
Oh, JoJo. Mark from Cheddar.
Oh, Chubiak calls him
that?
Oh, I was like, Bill calls him?
That's
like,
not appropriate. Nick?
Hey, guys, and Kevin, I just want to quickly mention Sanchez and the stick he's getting for the Brandon Moore incident on Thanksgiving. I don't understand why he's being laughed at and the busted play he turned into a running back. And every coach tells a running back, find a hole and hit it hard. back to the
Eric was a star running back in.
Back
what
to the Dolphins game. Once again, Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, once again proved he is a defensive genius. A couple of seasons ago, maybe last year, he experimented with Arrington playing as a D lineman. Well, after further tweaking, we have now seen a safety lineup on the D line and rush the passer. You just don't see other coaches doing this. The safety ended up with 2 sacks and a forced fumble. Well done, Belichick, and well done, Trevor Scott. The NFL is a copycat league. Now, how long until we see Ed Reed lining up with his hand in the ground?
Fred, I love the fact that the Twitterverse is killing you
it's
over
good.
Trevor Scott.
I love it. I love it.
Well, those were 2 big plays, though. For him to end up as one of the top 5 playmakers on this defense, he's going to have to make a surge here late in the season.
Let's go to the phone lines, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Victor is in Washington. Hey, Victor.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard. Good to have you.
Getting a lot of newbies
this year. Very
excited
about the win.
by the win last week. And,
good for you, because not a lot of people are.
Winning the division. I only had one question. The question is, has our opinion of Wes Walker changed since in the beginning of the season, everybody was doubting him and they were going to get rid of him after this year? And now that he's kind of showed up to play, has the view of him changed?
Now, do you mean internally or externally?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know how they feel about
you guys.
Oh,
I don't think it's changed for us.
We've been consistent, I think, all along. We were curious about what they were doing early in the year, like a lot of fans were. But I think the bigger question is, what did they think early in the year, and what do they think now?
Yeah, because I think Wes Walker's great, and the things that he does for this team, or be able to do for mostly any team. I mean, I just don't think you can replace him with anybody. I know that Julian Edelman and
I don't think so either. Not one on one, but that doesn't mean you can't replace offensive production. It just comes
correct.
From a different way.
And can you do a good enough replacement of production
right.
at a lower value than $11.5 million or whatever it would be if you franchised him?
Right.
Because I said to you, Fred, a couple weeks ago when they were playing the Colts, he made this strange comment about raving about how well Reggie Wayne is playing in his 12th season or however old he is. And the first thing I thought of is, you shouldn't be raving at that, Wes, because that's what you're basically trying to sell the Patriots that you can do.
Right, it's not,
you're trying to say, give me a three-year deal, and in the end of that three-year deal, I'll still be a productive
force.
Don't
point out how unusual it is. Right.
And I still think that's a concern for the Patriots. As good as he's been this year, can I give him a three-year deal?
Right.
Can I give him a multi-year deal at big money, or do I just roll the dice, franchise him, say, yeah, it sucks, I got $11.5 million for one guy, one receiver. I don't know if they feel like they can do that or not. That's a cap number issue.
Yeah. All right, Victor. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Victor.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is walking in. He's getting ready for the playbook. Hey, John.
Woo! Fred.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, indeed.
Good, good. What'd you do? Anything interesting?
Let's see. What did we do? We had some basketball, watched a little football, you know. And
mouse in your pocket.
managed to squeeze the Patriots in on Sunday, yeah.
Great. All right. So
did you actually get to watch that Alabama game, Alabama-Georgia game?
Watch a little bit of Alabama-Georgia.
Good for you.
But, you know.
Missed the whole thing.
Yeah, well. Real football, right?
Oh, man.
That was a good game, Paul.
I was on the Polar Express.
It was a very good game.
Oh, that's all right.
It was the what express?
I was on the Polar Express.
The Polar Express.
Did you see Dartmouth native Arthur Lynch making plays?
I heard that he did. Yes, he
threw
did.
A pass on
yes,
a fake
he did.
Punt.
Yes, he
and
did.
That last drive,
yes,
three
he
of five completions or whatever
yes,
were to
did.
Him.
That's correct.
He also had one that he dropped that almost turned to a pick, but we'll ignore that.
Yeah, no. Don't
for the sake of this argument, we're going to
ignore nitpick
that.
Tuesday, we'll ignore that.
All right. John Rook is loaded up, ready to go. He'll be here until 4 o'clock, and then, of course, the Fantasy Football Champs. I guess it's playoff time in Fantasy Football world. So
you've been announcing that for about a month.
It's really important that you listen to them at 4 o'clock for your strategy. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.